about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We suck.
It'll get there. We just need to keep rehearsing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We can't come to the phone right now because we're too gay.
Y'all be good. Praise the Lord. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery. Don't you be gay. And God will love you.
Stay away from me. I don't want to catch your gay.
I could never eat this much meat. That's not what I hear.
Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Ooh. 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 Want me. Want me. Want me.
I hate gay people. So, you know, I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people.
Listen, breeder. My gaydar is never wrong. That man, Art.
You know how I know you're gay?
No.
You like Coldplay.
And now.
Remember, when the gay community is granted personal freedoms, ours get taken away. How?
Shh. Our feature presentation.
That does seem odd. I don't understand how that works exactly.
No one's really explained it. Clearly.
Because, Kevin, your marriage isn't worth a damn if you have a gay couple married next door. That's why.
It invalidates
your marriage.
Yes.
Because,
yeah, I guess.
Because it just does.
All right. Okay.
You don't understand, man.
I don't. You're right. I don't understand.
By the way, speaking of the gays, I don't know if there's a, of course, opening a tribute to the Supreme Court decision in California yesterday, but I don't know if there's a poster child, if there's a face on the movement, but the way Psycho Mike has been working out lately and now he has the gay haircut, I just wonder if he's like trying to get on a poster or something. What's up with you?
That's a great question.
I've been doing a lot of work with like the free newspapers you get in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not much as much posters as it is like massage ads or like cowboy dancer.
Cowboy dancer?
Yeah.
They just use a photo of you for the ad or you're actually doing the work?
Well, I don't do the dancing. It's
you're not a cowboy dancer.
The picture. Like, yeah, when you go to like the Asian massage ads,
mm-hmm.
it's always like some super hot model.
Right.
And then
sure.
the chick shows up, and she's like overweight and smoking and missing
teeth. Amy Winehouse,
yeah, super hot model.
I just have like a cod piece and a cowboy hat, and I'm shooting my guns like this, Lisa. But then some guy shows up, and he looks like Doc.
Yeah. Wow!
It's kind of disappointing, switch, man.
When you get arrange a massage at the house, and then Doc shows up, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, the new haircut. I mean, you're doing everything but wearing a wife beater at this point. I mean, seriously.
He really. He really goes out of his way to really, really gay it up. I mean, it's not like it's just kind of an accident. He is aggressively gay it up.
It's like working with Pete Wentz, frankly, if I can
true.
Be honest.
Wow. That's true. That's like. Very true.
That's kind of mean.
We are going to be taking your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067, by the way. So you can give us a call, get on the air, get a prize. That's happening.
That is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed yesterday, by the way. I saw signs in the crowd in some of the news coverage, but I did not see anybody saying our favorite expression on the news yesterday.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I saw people carrying that on a sign, but I couldn't. There was nobody saying it on the TV, and I was very disappointed. I felt like something was missing from the reporting.
That is one of those staples. You expect that. From this story, somebody will always say that.
When all sure. else fails.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
should, by the way. I'm disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Rhymes.
It does. That's true. That's very
rhymes.
True.
It's not Adam and Monty. It's Adam and Steve. Okay?
Yep. It rhymes.
It's like Dads or Grads, man. It's not June unless you hear commercials for Dads or Grads because you know why? Rhymes.
Because it rhymes. All right. Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air. You get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
The Ink and Iron Festival is happening the weekend of June 5th on the Queen Mary. Bands performing include the Eagles of Death Metal. How about that? Also,
Woo!
The Bronx will be there, Street Dogs, the Legendary Sonics, and many more. Go to inkandiron.com for all the details or get on the air right now on the Kevin and Bean Show and win your tickets.
All right, let's begin with Joe. Hi, Joe.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. What to do?
I want to do Baby Boo.
All right.
Don't we all?
Surprised didn't anybody come up with that one. Jeez.
What's going on?
Hey, guys. I want to find out when you're going to bring back your Kevin and Bean party machines.
Well.
Yeah, there you go.
The party machine got destroyed by the man.
Yeah.
Well,
we used to just, for those of you that are not familiar with that, we used to just have a day where we would just play whatever we want. Doesn't matter if it was Brick House by the Commodores or the theme song to a TV show or whatever. And we would play it through the whole morning. And then the management got involved and they said, well, why don't you play a little more of this type and a little less of this type?
You can do it.
Right,
Just do it this way.
And then they started saying, oh, well, let's play a lot of older K-Rock music. And we're like, well, what's the point of that? We already do that.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty much ruined by the
band. They took all the fun out of it.
So finally we just said, well, if we can't do it, we can't do it. We're not going to do it half-heartedly.
You guys had to do it their way or no way.
Yep. Right. Oh, man, their way blows.
And I'm sorry, the party machine is not the same when you replace Play That Funky Music with Danny California. It just isn't. So
that's true.
I hope you understand. And one day, Mr. Weatherby will pass away. If we hang on long enough, he'll die, and then we'll be able to do it our way again.
Well, you guys have been on the air long enough already, so.
Yeah. All right.
Some
thank
people
you,
say too long, but thank you for the call.
Party machine reference. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
I think about it from time to time. I think about how much fun it was.
Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Yeah, I was at the movies yesterday, and I was running late to go see Terminator, and I got to see some guy was hassling one of the concession stand girls.
Mm-hmm.
Security guard walked up, gave this guy three chances, and just straight took out this guy with his elbow.
Really?
Wow.
In a just movie elbow theater.
Elbow straight to the jaw. I stood there with my popcorn watching that instead of going to the movie.
Aren't the aren't the security guards at movie theaters like Paul Blart? I mean, they don't strike me as UFC fighters, you know? They're not.
Well, this guy was actually pretty well built.
Huh.
But was the guy that he took out just haranguing the woman? I mean, he wasn't physically attacking her or anything, right?
I guess he was just bothering the woman. The woman called the security guard over.
By the way, 10 points for haranguing.
It's a good word.
Really haven't heard that word in 15 years.
Good word.
I like it.
Well, I'm surprised, Andrew. I don't think I've ever seen that either. I mean, usually unless you do what they say, they don't have any backup. Usually the people who work at the theater don't bring the force, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's an awesome sight.
That's pretty cool.
I would like to go to that theater when someone is texting in front of me. I would call that man over. It would be
beautiful.
Why
don't you just say, hey, Dave, put down the text?
Because Dave won't.
He won't, no matter what.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Blue. Hey, Blue.
Hey, what's going on? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's happening?
Baby boo.
Hey, have you guys heard about the chubby Jewish girl from Dancing with the Stars hosting her own dancing show for nothing but big girls?
No.
No.
A fat dancing show?
She's the one from Hairspray. What's her name, Bean? Do you remember?
I would recognize it if I saw it, but I don't know the name off the top of my head.
Fat.
That's what it is. Fatty, fat.
That's awesome.
What's the point of a dancing show for fat people? I don't even get
that. What do you mean, what's the point?
Comedy. They don't get to do it, and they're really good dancers.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
There's nothing funnier than fat people dancing. Come on.
Okay.
Right. It's been a great show ever.
When is that on? Do you know, or is it they're just talking about it?
It's coming on Oxygen, and I believe it starts next week around Wednesday. I'm not 100%, but I know it's on Oxygen next week.
We got to check that out.
And what is it called? Do you know the name of it?
Two Tons of Fun.
Fat breaks her ankles while dancing?
Yes.
I doubt that, but I hope it is.
I don't get the Oxygen Network, but I'll try and find somebody else who does.
Okay.
I think you receive it. I think it's on
correct. I just don't get it.
You just don't get it, right?
Let's go to Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's happening?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Nephru, baby boo?
What's going on, man?
How about those Magic taking out LeBron?
Unbelievable.
How about those Magic?
He had his last-minute shot. He couldn't pull it like Kobe could.
Well, that was
crazy.
Yeah, that was a tough, tough shot that he had. That was a rough one.
For sure it was.
Yeah.
Wasn't it LeBron who got him into overtime, though, with the free throws?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did hit those clutch free throws.
It's LeBron that got them this entire way. They just don't have enough of a supporting cast, I don't think. And Orlando didn't get the message. They didn't get the memo that people don't want him in the finals. So they're up 3-1 now.
That's just don't tough. Want to see Kobe take him out.
Yeah,
that is tough to come back. I mean, people are already saying, "Well, what does LeBron do now?" I mean, I guess what does he have? One more year in his contract in Cleveland?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, all these teams in the Eastern Conference have been like essentially setting up their franchise to try to sign LeBron in 2010.
Right. Get rid of a bunch of a cost, you know, and New York wants him and a bunch of different people want him.
Oh, anyone would take him. There's not a team that wouldn't pay whatever they've got to get him. Of course, it's just a question of whether he will leave Cleveland or not.
Yep.
I mean, he's the guy who wanted to be there because it's his hometown. But, you know, a lot of guys, they don't want to play their whole career and not end up with a ring.
Yeah, that's very important. And if he can't get it this year, I don't know. I mean, I think he's...
I mean, they were there a couple years ago too. Remember, I mean, they're not they're not a bad team, but you're absolutely right. He needs a guarantee from them that they're going to sign another player to help him. Is what he needs.
He needs some help, and let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
What to do? Hello.
Hey, this morning I was watching the news and I was watching about the gay activists and all this stuff, and I seen this guy holding up a sign that says "I love Kobe."
Yeah.
There you go.
That's awesome.
He was straight. That's the amazing part.
That's awesome.
Is he gay?
Kobe?
I'm guessing not.
No.
I'm guessing he's the opposite of that. But
it is funny that the guy had that sign, though. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Although, I think it'd be neat. I don't know that I've ever seen an article on this. Somebody needs to break down the worst tattoos in the NBA. I mean, Kobe would certainly be on that list. Our boy, Chris Anderson from the Nuggets, would be very near the top of that.
Call him
list.
Our boy,
by the way.
Just meaning we've been talking about him a lot this week. But it's so crazy when you never see anywhere a collection of more ghetto tattoos than you do during an NBA game. Almost every player that goes by, you go, wow, is that ugly?
Yeah, bad ones for sure.
Bad tattoos. I don't know. Are they all homemade in prison or what?
That was my question. I don't know. A lot of these guys came from really, really horrible upbringings in really rough neighborhoods. I don't know if they feel like they need to adhere to like their roots as, you know, urban inner city kids and get these low rent tattoos. I don't know what it is, but they have millions of dollars. They could go to the best tattoo artist in the world.
That's what I'm saying is when you get signed to the NBA, go ahead and call a cartoon. You know, don't have your buddy do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Because rappers don't make the same mistake. Rappers usually go to the best and they get
They get good looking tattoos. Really
no matter where they're from or anything like that, they get the good ones.
Yeah. It's funny though.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 27th of May. I see them.
Do you use your boobs for good or for evil?
And we're going to talk to Gavin Newsom today.
Oh.
Mayor of San Francisco.
Awesome. Yep.
Talking about the whole gay marriage thing that happened yesterday.
Yep.
He's kind of got, he's invested in this, being the mayor of San Francisco, that's for sure.
That's correct. I believe we're going to talk to Sean Connery today. Not thrilled that groundskeeper Willie is more famous than him in Scotland.
Can imagine.
After all he's done, he's won the freaking Oscar, for God's sake.
Groundskeeper Willie?
No, Sean Connery. I'm saying after all he's done, of course he's upset about it. I mean, he's done, you know, he's worked hard, and he's not even the most famous Scotsman. Come on.
We do have to talk about the biggest douchebag in the NBA, by far.
Which is who?
Birdman.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Why is he called Birdman?
Because he flaps his wings when he does stuff that's where, I guess it originally came from him being able to jump and fly through the air.
And he has the cockatoo hair. I think
he's got the faux hawk, and then when he does something good, he flaps his arms, and he's got like a wing tattoo on the underside of his arms.
Wow.
Talk about bad tattoos and just everything. And then they interview him, and he's such a zero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Is he third person about the Birdman?
Is he
third person?
Yes. She asked him a question about Birdman. He said, I don't know. You'll have to ask him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I would have punched him right in the face. It's you. You're the Birdman. Stop that. Just because you don't put your hair up.
He's Diddy annoying is what he is.
He is Diddy annoying. That's true. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. If you missed the Kevin Ryder School of English, I believe we will catch up on that. And we have Jesse James in studio.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's one of our favorite people. He's got a new TV show called Jesse James is a Dead Man. And that's coming on soon. So we're going to talk to him today in the studio. Quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Nope, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It's Wednesday morning. We got your tickets for Weezer with Blink-182. Great tour going out this summer. We'll have them. You can win in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What the hell's going on?
Don't you think Mike Tyson's had it hard enough?
Oh, man.
Yeah. After all he's been through yesterday, his four-year-old daughter, Exodus, passed away at the St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. From an accident involving her getting her neck wrapped around a cord from an exercise machine at home.
God.
Her mom was cleaning another part of the house, and she sent her 7-year-old son to the playroom to check on his sister. And when he got there, he found her. They tried CPR and called 911, but she was in critical condition when they got to the hospital, and she passed away yesterday.
Oh, that's brutal.
Brutal, brutal news for Tyson. Adriana Lima, however, speaking of babies,
all right,
is pregnant.
Oh, what?
Oh,
really? Poor boys. Aww. Yeah.
But what about our plan for the world where you have to hire a fat chick to carry your child?
She just did not get the memo.
How about that?
She is pregnant, of course, by Memphis Grizzlies star Marco Yarick. They eloped on Valentine's Day, were married in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Guess he went to the hole, as
you know
they
what
say
I'm saying?
In the NBA. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Right, Psycho Mike, you with me, brother?
Yeah.
That's just not good.
It's their first child, and hopefully their last. We might be able to bounce back. We'll see.
There was a lot of talk from the announcers in the Magic Cavs game last night about going hard to the rim, and a bunch of stuff kept coming up, and I was very uncomfortable watching that game for a while.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland spotted in New York yesterday downing Dewars on the rocks at a bar in Manhattan.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just saying, after a few public DUIs and headbutting a guy in the face at a highly publicized event in New York City, at what point do you say, maybe I'll drink at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I really need a cocktail.
That seems a little rough.
He was, the good news is he was hanging out with his 21-year-old daughter. They were partying together. And apparently he was very friendly to the bartenders.
Right.
I guess you could say he was really going to the hole. You know what I'm saying?
What?
No, wait a minute. I guess it doesn't really work.
So your advice to Kiefer Sutherland is not to not drink. It's just
look,
to drink at home.
Drink, don't drink. I mean, who am I to make that choice for someone? I know people have problems or whatever. I'm just saying, if you've been in trouble with the law,
right,
do what you want to do to yourself, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm sort of a libertarian when it comes to that, you know?
Sure.
Right.
If you, you know, it's not ideal to be an alcoholic, don't get me wrong. And you shouldn't drink yourself to death and shouldn't hurt yourself physically. But if you are choosing to drink, then maybe you want to do it at home. That's all I'm saying.
Stay out of trouble. Right.
Stay out of the public eye.
Yeah. For the sake of the people who work on your show with you and for your own career's sake,
mm-hmm.
Just saying, try to avoid run-ins with the man, I guess is my advice.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
And not everyone who drinks is an alcoholic. Just ask Amy Winehouse's mom.
Yes.
What did she say?
Her mom says that Amy isn't an alcoholic, Lisa. She's just bored.
She's just bored.
Yes.
Then work.
Janice, Amy's mom, has asked some of her friends to go and visit her on St. Lucia because she believes that Amy is just lonely and having a little company would just get her off the sauce.
Did someone make her go to St. Lucia?
I have no idea.
Is she prisoned there?
No, I believe she went on her own.
Wow.
But what mom thinks she just is bored. She needs some friends. If they play some mahjong and maybe, you know, skip some jump rope together, everyone will be happy.
What about all the random guys she keeps picking up on the beach and having sex with? Isn't that company?
It's so fleeting, Bean. It's not the real company. It's not what really matters.
I'm not really under... I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Sure is. Actor Chris Pine...
Mm-hmm.
Known around the world now as Captain James T. Kirk, apparently has a new girlfriend, if you believe Star Magazine. He's been seeing, according to the tabloid, Audrina Patridge.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
He seems way too smart for her.
Yeah.
And really? She's been spending tons of nights at his house, and they're quite the couple.
Couldn't he have anyone he wants? Pretty much?
Well, maybe he's just moving up, and this is just the bottom of the ladder.
Wow.
Yes, but...
Wow.
She's so dumb.
I'm a little disappointed.
Very disappointed.
Captain Kirk, quite frankly.
Wow.
I demand a recount. That's what fans of Adam Lambert are saying.
Oh, really?
Yes. He, of course, was the runner-up in the American Idol competition. Chris Allen won the whole item. And apparently, it turns out that there were several huge watching parties in Arkansas.
Right.
Where Chris is from. And AT&T was invited to attend those parties, and they brought with them a large number of phones for the people at the party to use and gave the people at the parties tutorials on how to do what's called a power text, where you can send 10 or more text messages at the press of a single button.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these people were voting in large blocks for Chris Allen during the finale.
Huh.
And fans of Adam Lambert are crying foul.
Hmm. It does seem odd that a sponsor would be allowed to be involved in promoting voting for one candidate.
You can only text for Idol through AT&T phones, by the way,
right.
Subscription.
Right.
So they're saying it's just dirty pool for them to show up with phones, hand them out at a Chris Allen watching party, and then teach everyone how to vote in blocks of 10 for their favorite American Idol contestant.
Well, they've been they've kept it very close to the vest this year in terms of how many votes they actually got. They have not released what the percentage difference was between the candidates. I don't think Fox is really in the mood to give up any more details about the final ballot.
You know why they're not giving out details?
Why?
Lies.
You think so?
It's all a massive cover-up. Maybe on the scale of Watergate.
Maybe it was rigged.
That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting.
I don't watch the show.
It's Adam Gate. That's what I'm saying.
But I read someplace online where somebody was guessing that the third runner-up or whoever.
Gokey.
Danny yeah. Gokey.
All of his fans went for the other.
Chris Allen. That's what they're speculating.
The winner.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, it doesn't matter. Adam will be fine. It really doesn't matter who wins.
If we allow these things to happen in our country, what sort of democracy do we have? When
AT&T.
A vote for American Idol doesn't count, one man, one vote.
AT&T shouldn't have done that, but millions of people voted. I wonder how much of a difference that really could have made.
Well, I'm going to join the people marching outside of Fox today after I get done with my Yes on 8 campaign.
Got a lot of marching to do today. You got to be exhausted.
Marching. A lot of marching. You know, just when we think TV's over because summer comes along, we've got nothing to watch, cable comes along and rescues us. Bunch of new shows debuting on cable.
Tell me.
Well, you got Nurse Jackie over there on Showtime, which is going to be terrific. You got True Blood coming back on HBO.
Love that.
Which is a great show. And following True Blood, HBO is pulling out its new series, Hung.
Yeah. Hung?
Is that just for me?
That's what I'm talking about.
It may be just for you, Lisa. It stars Thomas Jane, who, of course, was the Punisher and was also in 61 on HBO. He plays an enormously well-endowed man.
Really?
Looking to cash in on his asset,
right.
If you will.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
It's called Hung, and it's about him and his unit and how he's going to try to cash in on having a giant unit.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a series that's going to be on television.
It's an ongoing
series. About a guy and his junk.
That's a subtle
It's
title.
Called Hung.
They wanted to call that The Punisher, too. But
yeah, they couldn't use it.
Marvel
wouldn't let
Hung
them.
Hung was okay.
Star William Hung? And Heish will be his co-star.
Oh.
So there you go.
Her boyfriend better watch out.
You get hung and crazy all at the same time.
Well,
yeah,
done.
Really. Because you know she bangs whoever she's co-starring.
She sure does.
And it's official.
Sounds like a joke show that you made up.
No, it's June 28th. It debuts on HBO following True Blood.
Awesome.
Please tune in for Hung. And it's official. Weezer has announced. If you go to the band's website, you will be able to procure an official Weezer Snuggie. That's right. It's called the Wuggie.
Yeah.
And it is a Snuggie featuring the group's logo, so you can snuggle up with Rivers and the rest of the band.
You go, sister.
The Weezer Snuggie.
They came out in the Snuggies at the Weenie Roast.
They sure did. They love the Snuggies.
All of them had a
Snuggie. And now you get an official Weezer Snuggie if you're so inclined.
150 degrees out, they come out in Snuggies.
Because Snuggies are great and they love Snuggies.
No! No!
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Louis Gossett Jr. He and Whoopi Goldberg, the poster children for What's Wrong with Oscars. He is 73 years old today. I'm just saying, some Oscar winners don't necessarily live up to their potential after they win.
Yeah.
You're saying Iron Eagles didn't hold up?
That's exactly what I'm saying, quite frankly. Susie Sue of Susie and the Banshees. All right. She is 52 years old today. Todd Bridges from Different Strokes.
Hell yeah.
Celebrates his 44th birthday. Joseph Fiennes is 39 years old today. Very talented actor. Paul Bettany is 38. Andre 3000 of Outkast turns 34 years old today. And our buddy Adam Carolla celebrates his birthday today. So, of course, we wish him all the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Jesse James is going to be joining us later on this morning. He, of course, is Jesse James is a dead man, is the new show, but he's been around for years and years and years and is always the coolest guy in the room. I don't know how he does it because he's a quiet guy, but you always can tell he's running things. He knows what's going on and he's smarter than you are.
Yeah, when he was on Celebrity Apprentice, he seemed like the only grounded person on that show.
That's what I want to talk to him about.
Yeah.
But listen, you guys always, when you have a cool guest like this, you talk about wimpy, like wimp wimp stuff.
And you have a very good opportunity to talk to him about cool stuff, and I don't want you to let that opportunity slip through your fingers.
Like what?
What cool stuff?
Before he fixed stuff and was a big bike maker,
right.
He was Rick Rubin's bodyguard. And I want to know if he ever had to collect some money. You know what I'm saying? If he ever had to go down to Brooklyn and take care of stuff from Mr. Rubin.
Break some kneecaps, something like that.
That's what I'm talking. I know. See?
That's interesting.
Because I bring you the gold.
I didn't know he did that either. That is fascinating.
He doesn't seem like the bodyguard type, does he?
This is a true story. And this is, you know, right when Rick Rubin was discovering Slayer and he had to go to all these, like, underground metal shows, there was probably some serious ass kicking going on delivered by Mr. Jesse James. And I want to know about
it. He's got a new TV show called Jesse James is a Dead Man. And I saw it last night. And in the first episode, he rides a motorcycle that goes from 0 to 100 miles an hour in a second.
Yeah, I saw that on the commercial. How is that possible?
It's got like a jet engine in it or something. It's like a nitro-burning motorcycle.
Wow. Well, we love Jesse, and we're very excited. He'll be in our studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Right now, though, how about Harvey Levin? Yeah. Back from vacation. He's tan. He's rested. He's ready from TMZ.com. Harvey, now it can be revealed. You were very secretive before you left, but where'd you end up going?
I went to Hawaii.
But
you know what? I read the best books.
Oh, yeah? You just laid around and read?
Can I tell you something? Larry King's book is one of the best life stories I've ever read.
Really? He must have
written
it.
Who do you think wrote it? Who wrote it then? Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is so good. It is so good. And I mean, I thought, it's going to be one of these BS biographies. It was unbelievable. It was
For folks who only know Larry King as the 100-year-old on CNN, I mean, the guy has had a really super interesting life and a career of 80 years in the business. So he's met everybody in the world, right?
And he's so candid about it. And I mean, some of this stuff is just so much fun. I mean, something I knew about when I was covering the O.J. Simpson case is that Larry was dating somebody on the prosecution side and somebody on the defense side at the same time, and neither knew about it.
What? That's awesome.
We all knew about it, but they didn't know about it. And he talks about it in the book, and he's so candid, and it's funny. It is honest to God, it is one of the best books, autobiographies I've ever read.
At any point while you were in Hawaii and you were reading that book, did you think to yourself, what am I doing? I'm reading a book by Larry King.
No. I mean, at first I thought, because it was, at first I'd gone to the bookstore like 5 times and I couldn't find anything I really loved. And I thought, okay, this is the best thing that I could find. And then I like him personally, but I thought, could it really be that great? It really, it is so good. Okay.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
It is Kevin and Bean Book Wednesday, so we appreciate that recommendation. But
thanks, Oprah.
Since you brought up OJ, I was a little bit surprised to see him back on the site this week. I thought he was gone until you announced he died in prison. What's going on with the juice?
Well, the juice says he's innocent. He always says he's innocent. He's innocent of everything. He's innocent of Larry King dating both those people.
Yeah, true. Wasn't his fault.
But I mean, of course, everybody in jail thinks they're innocent, but why does he think that there's grounds for a retrial, or what's he talking about?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, the sentence he got, although in Nevada, you know, kidnapping is really dicey in Nevada, that you move somebody into the next room, you can be guilty of kidnapping.
Right.
But he got up to 33 years for this. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, he clearly is a killer, but in terms of the kidnapper, he probably has a better shot at saying, dude, you know what? I mean, is this really worth 33 years? My guess is the judge is going to let it stand, but he is appealing.
It's they give him 9 to 33, right? So it could be as little as 9?
Yeah, but 33 is the max.
Okay.
9 to 33.
And according to your site, he's saying that the conviction was tainted by judicial misconduct, a lack of racial diversity on the jury, and errors in sentencing and jury instructions.
Don't you love that he's now that a lack of racial diversity?
Yep.
Yes,
I
mean, that's awesome.
Is that the best thing? Remember when there were, I think, 11 African Americans on the murder jury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he wasn't complaining then.
Yeah,
he wasn't complaining at all. Yeah.
I'm the juice, whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
I gotta say, it's like the irony of this is the guy who completely turned his back on the African American community until he was charged with murder.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. And then he was happy to be black. Exactly,
and then he was happy to be black.
10,000 rushing yards, 6 Pro Bowls, 2 arrests, and no convictions. Orenthal James Simpson.
All right, maybe one conviction.
Harvey, one more thing before you get into your meeting. You have been twittering lately about your new show, a TMZ spinoff show. What do you got going on the TV later this year?
So in July, we're going to put a show on for 2 months on some of the Fox stations, including the one in L.A. And it's a show about, you know, I'll give you an example. I mean, it's all these weird things in the news that, you know, and in a broad sense, I mean, we call it Beyond Twisted, but it's all the weird stuff, and we're going to kind of present it in a writer's room where we have these really interesting people. I mean, I traveled to Boston and D.C. and Berkeley, and I found these really interesting people. There'd be like seven people in a room plus a dude from India that we're going to outsource stuff to.
Okay.
And they're going to find the, and I'll give you one example. I mean, this is just the greatest video. There's a boxer, and I don't even know what country this was, but there was a boxer who was just beating the crap out of this guy, and he was kind of against the ropes, and he was pummeling and pummeling and pummeling and pummeling, and all of a sudden, the guy who was getting pummeled, his mother jumps in the ring.
Oh.
And starts hitting the guy with her purse.
Oh, man, awesome. Is that nightmarish. I'd rather get killed than have that happen.
And so they call the fight in favor of the guy who was winning, and so that guy kind of puts his hands up, goes into the corner, and, you know, you think the fight's over, and all of a sudden, she, like, comes over, and she blindsides him with the purse again.
Oh, that's the best.
And it is just like, and so it's stuff like that, and we've been kind of looking around and seeing if there's a lot of stuff, and there's just a ton of stuff. So we're going to package it into a half-hour show, and in L.A., I believe it's on at 7 o'clock on Fox, and it's going to be in July and August. We're just going to kind of test it.
So it's kind of a best of YouTube show that's non-celebrity related, just funny and weird and wacky stuff.
It's not really YouTube. I mean, it's we're finding this stuff from all over the place.
It's just odd stories.
Reuters. And,
right.
There are just a million places you can look, and they're real stories that happen. Like, you know, it's not going to be like we're not going back in time. I mean, we're finding fresh stuff every single day. We're trying it out right now, and there's so that. it's just really interesting, and it's a different way of looking at news.
Yeah.
And I think it's going
to
be fun.
We saw a story yesterday where there was a guy trying to impress his friends, so he put a pistol in his belt.
Yeah.
You know, inside his pants,
mm-hmm.
and shot his own penis.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm sure that was not probably as impressive as he had hoped.
Yeah.
that's our lead.
Those people are the best. Exactly. They're my people.
Well, I'm just glad to see Harvey quit being lazy. It's about time the guy started working for a living. That's, you know, true. What I mean? That's what you needed was another show. All right, TMZ.com, of course, is the website. Check your local Fox listings for TMZ television. Harvey, welcome back from vacation, man. We missed you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. You listen to me.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning. We got a guy named Rob coming up in about a half an hour or so, who lost an eye, had a prosthetic eye put in. Now he is going back and making it a wireless video camera, which, by the way, you'd be forced to go into porn, right? I mean, you'd have to do porn if you had a wireless video camera as an eye.
But it looks just like his eye. So
yes.
That is weird.
He's a documentarian, so he goes around, you know, doing documentary shows, and he's going to have a camera in his eye. And
God.
It doesn't record. Like Bean said, it's wireless, so it sends wireless, to some others.
And they can record it there.
How great is that?
That's amazing.
I am going to think very seriously about this. I might give up an eye for the opportunity to be able to do that.
I would like for that to happen as well.
I might actually go in and request to have my eye replaced with one that records like a camera. That'd be the coolest thing ever.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would.
Anyway, we'll talk to him coming up in about less than a half an hour. Also, Rouse got the showbiz beat. Mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, on the show next hour talking about the Prop 8 developments right now. How about the Kevin and Bean Afro line? You can call from anywhere, 323-520-AFRO, and leave us a message.
We have a new game that we started on the program because, let's face it, we fill up a lot of time on this show, and we try to make it funny. We don't always succeed at that. So we started a new game that this listener loves.
Hey, guys. Cobra from Huntington Beach. Just driving to work, and the only thing on my mind is, would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
Tell me, would you take that back?
I am telling you that at 2 this morning, I woke up, and that song started going through my head. I am not kidding you.
It's a crazy good theme song. In fact, now that you've heard the theme song, Lisa, would you like to take that back?
Yes, I would.
Speaking of songs that you can't get out of your head.
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears, and Ralph Garman is a queer, and there's Kevin and Bean on his island. He's the queen, and the Duck Morning Show.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks, I guess.
That is very nice. We play commercials here. We're not always in control of them.
Did I hear somebody say Dane Cook at the Staples Center?
We're advertising Dane Cook.
I blocked that.
I know, right?
We can't tell you not to buy tickets for that show.
No, we can't. It's going to be a great show, and you're going to laugh. Tough economic times, B.
Yeah.
Tough economic times. That is going to be, I may go. It's gonna be the, that's just going to be the best. We were talking yesterday about people saving birds when they're hurt.
Like me and Mike.
Taking them to the vet, and then the vet goes, okay, people, send them. I go, here's a nut job over here that saves them. Why don't you take
like
it to him?
Like everyone, except for Kevin Hitler, yeah.
Kevin, Ralph, I'm surprised at you. Of course you would save a poor little bird. You know why?
We never even thought of that.
Those people that are Family Guy fans are laughing. Everybody else is like,
what is that? Yeah.
But, yeah, that's Family Guy reference.
Where's Ted? Bring Ted back.
We saw Tad at the Weenie Rose. Tad worked on our show many, many, many years ago before he got fired for having a tattitude. And he's fatter than ever. Tad is so fat now.
Yeah, he has.
It almost makes me want to hire him back.
He has packed on the LBs.
Because he's hilarious looking.
Right, but take that back. You don't want to take it back. The whole thing about hiring him back. We're not exactly sure when you call, what's on the air at the time. So, because it's an answering machine, so if you call and don't give us specific information about what you're talking about, a lot of times we don't have any idea. This guy perhaps could have given us more information.
Oh, I hate that commercial. Take it off now.
No clue.
That doesn't help us after the fact.
I don't know what that is, but I'm guessing it was a Psycho Mike project, some type of Psycho Mike commercial, because he's pretty hateable. So, that's happening.
Hey, guys. So, I'm headed out to Disneyland right now for a wine tasting event that's going to be hosted by Tommy Lasorda. Maybe I'll see Jane Biondi there.
Maybe you will.
Be sure to say hi.
If you do, say hi. If you don't mind, that would be cool.
Midget! Oh, dancer! So you think you can dance?
I did not see that.
Is there a mention on So You Think You Can Dance?
I don't know.
Must have been.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Thanks for the tip. Hot tour coming out this summer.
Cream? Got Staff? Going on tour? Reunion? No! God damn it! No!
What are you saying? You're excited about it? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
We have a favorite NHL announcer. He is a hockey announcer from Florida, and he every time he says he shoots, he scores, and then he comes up with some kind of a slogan afterwards. Here's an idea.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
He's got a million of them. He's awesome. Randy Moeller from the Panthers.
Right. So, and we have people that have been calling and doing their impression of that now every day since we started playing that, which was about a month ago.
Might almost say it made my foot loose down there every time they score.
Oh, someone get that kid a Happy Meal!
He shoots, he scores! I wish that people don't judge you by this album because before you were great.
Here comes the hot stepper!
And finally.
Hey, guys, Bob Dylan here, telling you to tune in to my new radio show, Bob Dylan Me a Nice Classic Movie. And let's say you had a milkshake. You know, I have a milkshake, and I have a straw. There it is, see? And my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. And drink your milkshake. And drink it all up, baby. Yeah, so tune in to Bob Dylan Reenacts the Movie. It's going to be a great show, much better than the Super Fun Lemonade Chocolate Town Team Hour. Hi, Lisa.
That's the only thing I understood, the last two words.
I got high Lisa out of that.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
It is the worst ever, but all you have to do Dylan is not be understood.
Yeah, but that was Cartman and Jay Leno.
It was. It was a bit of a mixture.
Hey!
Wow, nicely done.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Mike and I are going on the road.
Ralph was air drumming, too.
Going on the road.
It's the world famous
K-Rock. Do it live!
And it is 6:51.
Got some bad news for Kevin Amin listeners. No local H tickets to give away this morning on the show, I'm sorry to say. But we can hook you up with Blink 182 with Weezer tickets for their shows all across the country. Blink is going to have a couple of different opening acts. Weezer for the dates that we're giving away tickets for. But tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 for their big tour. And your chance to win coming up between 7 and 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, 6:52. Rob's got the showbiz beat for a new day. What's going on?
Great. That's you. That's you. That's what you're giving away, right? That's you. Fine. Whatever. How about me? What am I giving away? What do I have to give away? Something even better?
Herpes. I don't know.
Herpes? For sure, there's that.
Okay.
But I mean, in terms of tickets, I've got tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Land of the Lost, boys and girls.
Can't wait.
The big budget, big laughs comedy starring my buddy Will Ferrell taking on one of my favorite Saturday morning kid shows of all time, Land of the Lost. Of course, Sid and Marty Croft. You guys are pals with Sid and Marty. Didn't you guys have H.R. Puffin stuff on your show once or something?
We did once.
Sure did.
I don't know that I would consider us pals.
You're pals.
It didn't really go all that well.
You love H.R. Puffin stuff.
Mm.
He's your friends when things get rough.
Yeah.
Can't do a little because he can't do enough. That's H.R. Puffin stuff right there. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away. It is this Saturday at Grauman's Chinese Theater, and it is at a very impressive place to see a world premiere down there in Hollywood. Here is your trivia question. This is for Will Ferrell fans. Will, of course, a very proud Trojan, graduate of USC. What did he get his degree in? You may be surprised if you don't know the answer to this. 1-800-520-1067 is the correct number to call, and the first two people through with the right answer get a pair of tickets to attend the red carpet world premiere of Land of the Lost. I am so looking forward to this
movie. Yeah,
it looks funny. I just, every time I see that commercial, him and Danny McBride, and Danny yells at him, "Don't you ever get tired of being wrong?" Yes! Yes, I really do! That's right, it just makes me laugh out loud. Kanye West has always said he doesn't like books and not a big fan of reading, says Kanye.
Right.
Well, that didn't keep him from writing one and selling one.
Oh, really?
He's got a new book in stores called Thank You and You're Welcome.
Thank you and you're welcome.
Yes.
The autobiography?
It is a 52-page volume of what he calls Kanye-isms. It is a collection of thoughts and theories that he has.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be great.
Some of the pages are blank.
Wait a minute. It's 52 pages total?
Some of them are blank.
And they're not full of anything?
Others contain just one phrase, like, "I hate the word hate." Entire page. Well,
that's not
page.
A book. That's doodling is what that is.
He could put all that on one page.
It is Kanye-isms. 52 pages. Please hand over your money now.
All right.
I am the number one human being in music. Mm-hmm. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Okay.
Right. Kanye's late mother, by the way, was a university English professor.
Right.
How do you think she felt when she heard him say, "Like breathing"? Do you think she would go, "Oh, Kanye, give me a big hug. You're my special boy."
Probably. Yeah.
Breathing.
She was secretly happy to die on the table to get away from
Kanye. Oh, now you've gone too far.
What is wrong with you?
Bean's a genius and he's really smart, but he's got no soul and he's got no heart.
That's for sure. Elvis Presley, big fan?
Dead.
Everyone? Love the King?
Big fan. Yeah.
Nope.
Would you like to collect some special collectibles they're auctioning off this week?
Nope.
What do they got?
This I think would be pretty funny to get. This is a sale, or an auction rather, of prescription bottles from the King's bathroom when he died.
Really?
I wonder where these have been all this time.
These are items that were given to the King by his personal physician, Dr. Nick.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody!
That's where the Simpsons got Dr. Nick from. There are prescription bottles that contain medication that Elvis took.
They still have medication in them?
No, they've taken the medication out, sadly. But they are prescribed to him. His name's on there and everything. And they're expecting to go for about $100 each. $800 each.
Wow.
That's what they're expecting.
That's a pretty cool item.
It is June 26th and 27th, this auction, by the way, at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So you can check that out if you're out there in Vegas.
Kanye.
Hey, Dr. Nick now.
Kanye, you like the Elvis?
They say in any other industry, you know, you're supposed to do better than the past. You know, like, computers should get smaller and faster. Mm-hmm. But whenever you say, "I want to be Elvis," they say, "What's wrong with you?" Right. "But I want to be Elvis."
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Good luck with that.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact.
Let's go to Philip, shall we? Philip?
Morning, guys.
Will Ferrell, a proud USC graduate. What did he get his degree in?
Sports information.
Sports information.
No! No!
Yes.
What does that mean? You just read the box scores every day? What is that? What does that mean?
I think that is to become a sportscaster.
Like journalism?
Yeah.
Sports journalism?
I would think.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are going to the world premiere of Land of the Lost this Saturday.
Right on. Thank
you. Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Is it?
Well, that we don't hasn't know happened yet.
Land of the Lost, of course, in theaters on June the 5th, by the way, in case you don't win our contest this week. Speaking of Will, he is raising money for charity by rolling out a new selection of sunscreens with his name on it.
Will Ferrell sunscreen.
Will Ferrell sunscreen.
When you think of dark tans and beautiful no tan lines, you think of Will Ferrell.
When you think of pale, you think of Will Ferrell, so it must work, right?
Oh, okay.
Sunscreen.
Yeah.
You, by the way, you could slather on it a little occasionally, Kevin.
You think?
You got a little red over the weekend.
A little red over the weekend. My forehead is gleaming at me over here.
I have
here.
White and bright red. I don't have anything in between.
But if you put sunscreen on, wouldn't that help?
Yeah, I had it on.
Did you really?
Yep.
Well, you need like a flannel shirt then over your head.
You know when I got burned? Adam Carolla's party.
I got
and
you.
He can't wear a hat.
No.
No, because
nothing will fit his
what would
head.
Fit him?
Yeah.
Here's a trio of sunscreens with Will's name on them. And here's the titles: Sexy Hot Tan, Forbidden Fruit, and Sunstroke. The bottles all have pictures of Will on it in various states of undress.
Oh, no.
So you might want to buy the strongest one, I think.
You know, Muff Gorman?
Hey, Gene Simmons. What's
How are
up,
you?
Buddy?
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Just
hang around all day waiting?
I do.
All right.
I have my own little closet in the back. Lisa, may I have my own skin cream as well?
All right.
Oh,
you know
that?
Yeah. It's organic.
We can finish that.
It's organic.
And
thank
it's salty.
You.
All right.
Oh. We can finish it all.
People need to understand, this is not okay.
Come on. All the proceeds go to a charity called Cancer for College, which is a foundation that gives scholarship to kids with cancer.
Okay.
Oh.
Maybe a bit of a waste of a college education, but what do I know?
I'm
just saying, what's the survival rate? I'm just want to know.
Guys are heartless.
I want to know.
The right kids with cancer otherwise.
Yeah, you know, like testicular, something easily curable, you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Will said, the bottle says it all. I've always dreamed of owning a lotion company. There you go. There's your Will Ferrell update. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Andre 3000 of Outkast, who starred with Will Ferrell in... Semi-pro, you're
yes,
absolutely
he did.
Right.
That's
34
right.
years old today. Paul Bettany, the very talented actor, is 38. Sean Kinney, drummer for Alice in Chains, is 43 years old today. Todd Bridges from Different Strokes turns 44. Susie Sue of Susie and the Banshees.
All right.
She is 52 years old today. Lou Gossett Jr., Oscar-winning Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
I got no place else to go!
Remember that from Officer and the Gentleman?
Oh, yeah.
Only two things from Oklahoma. I don't see no horns on you, boy. 73 years old today. And our buddy Adam Carolla celebrates his birthday as well. Happy birthday, Ace. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk about perhaps the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it's a documentary filmmaker who has a video camera in his eyeball.
Spence's current prosthetic eye will be swapped out and replaced with an eye camera the team is building, which includes a miniature lens and wireless transmitter. Using art and technology, Spence is currently in development with the National Film Board of Canada to make a documentary about the project called Eye for an Eye.
If you lose an eye, to turn that loss into a gain is something that makes me happy. It makes me feel good. And as a filmmaker, I can have this experimental, strange eye camera, so it's turned out well, losing the eye.
Huh. You don't hear that sentence very often, by the way.
I'm very happy I lost an eye.
Rob Spence joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rob, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to hear from you. Hey, I watched your video on the website, but I did not hear. How did you lose the eye? What happened?
Oh, it was a little embarrassing. I was only 9. I was trying to shoot a pile of cow crap with a shotgun.
Oh, no.
Really?
That is not a good story.
All right, and?
And I hit it, by the way.
Yes.
I had that satisfaction, but I wasn't holding the gun right, and I think the shell popped out and hit me in the eye.
Awesome.
And so
all those times that our mother has said, be careful with that thing or somebody's going to lose an eye, we just thought she was joking. Yeah. But in reality, it does happen.
I know. When I watch Christmas Story, I flinch when the mother says that. I'm like, oh, it's so true, you know?
Have you ever made up a different story to tell people? Because that's a little, that's embarrassing.
Like yeah, I have various stories involving ninjas and
excellent.
Know,
yeah,
better, things. Definitely better. All right, so you you got a prosthetic eye, I guess. They just put something in there. They didn't do anything. It just looked good, right? For several years after the accident.
Yeah, well, you know, the eye deteriorated over the years. It was only 4 years ago that I kind of had to get the eye out.
Oh, and then, I see.
And then, yeah, the modern prosthetic eye is quite interesting. It moves in stereo with your remaining healthy eye.
Okay,
unlike Peter Falk from Columbo, who's got the old school eye.
Right, the old school eye. People don't like the old school eye. But
school eye played the Wiener Roast this year. They're very good, by the way.
I was going to ask you about that, though, because that sounds like amazing technology that if your good eye looks to the left, so does your camera eye.
Yeah, you know how they do that? They put in a ball of sea coral. And the ball of sea coral is like porous, and it's very compatible with the body. And what happens is blood vessels and muscles grow into the sea coral. And then so this ball of sea coral provides a base that's moving in stereo with the remaining healthy eye.
That is
weird. And then they put a pin into it, and then the prosthetic eye will attach onto the pin.
Huh. That is amazing technology. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you the first guy to ever try turning your eye into a camera, though, Rob?
I'm not the first guy to think of it. I mean, certainly even the 70s show Bionic Man, $6 Million Man, they were talking about it and doing it. Other filmmakers have said they'd like to do it, but I actually just hunkered down. I quit doing anything else besides trying to make a prosthetic eye with a camera in it. And I got a lot of nerd enthusiast engineers to donate their time and companies. There's a company called Omnivision who makes... actually colonoscopy cameras out in near San Francisco.
How do you know they didn't put one of those in your eye?
Well, they would send me samples, these tiny, tiny cameras, and one of the gags there is people say, Rob, are you pulling these ideas out of your ass? And I can go, well, let's check.
Yes, I am.
Because I can literally use this camera right now, you know?
Now, I don't know if it's – we're talking to Rob Spence on the phone on the Kevin DeBede Show, by the way. His website, if you want to see the video and see how the eye works, is iborgproject.com, iborgproject.com. And in your video, they show the eye glowing red like it's a Terminator movie or something. Is that a special effect for the video, or is that what it really looks like when people encounter you on the street?
Well, that's just us having fun because what we have is we have a prosthetic eye that's in two parts, and you can open and close it, and it's hollow in the middle.
Right.
So that's where we put the camera. But in this case, you know, we can throw other things in there, such as a red LED light. And I just did that to walk around and be cool and immature, basically.
I like it.
It worked.
Just freak people out.
And it freaks people right out.
Now, if you didn't do something like that, you had the camera and it's just a normal day and you walked, we walked into you, would we be able to tell or is it completely look realistic? Because from the video, it looks like you wouldn't be able to tell.
Well, certainly, right now we just have a very clear plastic prosthetic eye, just so it makes things easier. We're sort of at the early stages of the working prototype, but further down the road we'll paint. And this is how they make fake eyes look real, is they just use little paintbrushes. So it's very easy to do that. It is something we're going to do. And I'll probably have more than one model. Like I'll have a
wide angle.
Night vision. Certainly there's a potential for underwater eye.
A zoom lens that comes out from your eye about 4 inches.
I have like a utility belt of various eyes that I can switch to.
Wow.
So, obviously the artistic side of you as a filmmaker, Rob, you're excited by the possibilities of this. What do you think, what kinds of stuff do you think you want to record with your eye?
Well, it gets a little tricky ethically, but I mean, as a documentary filmmaker, what you really want to do is recreate the human experience. And what that is when you have a conversation with somebody and they say what they think, it's a lot different than when you bring in a crew and set up lights and have a giant camera.
Right.
People are not the same person. They're not saying the same things they would otherwise
say. Right, they
say
what they think they're supposed to say.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's from their end. And from my end, unlike, you know, the traditional way to recreate human vision and then put it back on a TV is it's like a rectangular eye of God. So you come out slowly from the palm trees and move in, and then you sit on a tripod and you pan and you tilt kind of robotically. But in my case, there's blinking, there's glancing around. So from both ends of it, it's more true to the human experience. And this is something that's happened in other forms like acting. Like, let's say 40, 50 years ago, you could say metaphorically that acting was on a tripod. You know, Philip, what are you doing? Nothing,
right.
You know, Frank. And so it's become more and more natural in the way that we actually experience things.
Now, do you have currently a girlfriend and or wife and or boyfriend?
I am currently painfully single.
Okay. Is this going to make it difficult for a girl to have the thought in her head that this dude has a wireless camera in his eye?
So what you're doing...
Right. Could always be broadcast.
It repels some girls, but it attracts others.
And but do you want those that it attracts?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to be wearing it 24 hours a day. I'll use it just as I use any other of my cameras. I
right.
A small camera, a big camera. Or
well,
my
you're
eye
missing
camera.
Out on a great idea for yeah. for a porn site.
But I mean,
POV porn, yeah.
But think about it. I mean, I was shocked when Girls Gone Wild came to Toronto. There was a lineup of about 1,000 girls
right.
waiting to go in and be on camera.
So it's not gonna hamper that effort any.
Well, yeah,
all right.
So, what's the first thing you think you'll make that then will be released to the public as a film, Rob?
Well, I'm working on a deal right now, and the basic gist of that is that I'm in a good position to do a literal point of view documentary on how sometimes when people lose parts of their body, they actually augment themselves. They give up on trying to be too normal, and they get parts that are bionic and beyond what humans can normally do.
Right.
So for example, you have Oscar Pistorius. He's a guy who lost his legs, and then he decided, you know what? I'm going to get these cheetah blades that'll make me even faster than I used to be. Mm-hmm. In my case, I lost an eye, but now I'm like an augmented mega super filmmaker.
Right.
You know? And so on and so forth. And so you really get to this feeling that, you know what, I didn't lose something, I actually gained something. And it sounds cheesy, but it isn't always pleasant to lose part of your body. And you
right.
feel like a little less than you were before. But then
sure.
if you think about it and you embrace technology, you can be more than you were before.
When we watch your movie, are we going to see you blinking every 10 seconds? Because I got to be honest, that'd be a little annoying.
Well, that's true, and I don't think the world is ready for, just like if you tried to show Blair Witch 30 years ago, people would just thrown up and not understood what the hell was going on.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
in my case, I'm going to do mostly an HD camera and then cut to my eye at the right moments.
Oh, I see. You're just going to use parts of it.
But I'll also Fantastic. Do other things, like I'm not interested in being a life caster, but I might become an event caster. So, actually, there's this cool event called the Gumball Rally.
Sure, heard of it.
And I'm going to try to get into that and, you know, and transmit what I'm seeing from my point of view to the internet, for example, and that would be, like, event casting.
I love it.
How about
Rob,
that?
You got a great attitude, and I'm inspired by your creativity of what you're doing with what some people would consider a disability. I think it's awesome. Rob Spence is his name. The website is iBorg. Let me actually get that out. iBorgProject.com is the website. Rob, we're going to be checking back and seeing how you're doing, but thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Devine Show. We enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. You guys, people.
Thank you.
Bye now. There was a poll recently on the most famous, recognizable, beloved Scotsman in the world. And believe it or not, the winner was this man.
Brothers and sisters are natural enemies, like Englishmen and Scots, or Welshmen and Scots, or Japanese and Scots, or Scots and other Scots. Damn Scots! They ruined Scotland!
Yes, it's the beloved groundskeeper Willie from the Simpsons TV show. We thought, you know, I bet there's a guy that we know that we talk to from time to time who might not be happy to hear that groundskeeper Willie is the most famous Scotsman of the world, so we thought we'd invite our old friend Sir Sean Connery back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Adam and Steve. How are you?
Well, very timely reference with what's going on in California. How are you,
that's
Mr. Connery?
I did it, you shot.
I was just applauding you. I was just saying how great it was that you were informed of what's happening in America. That's all.
I appreciate that, and you.
Wow. Okay. Well, Mr. Connery, as you heard in the introduction, we can't get our heads around this poll, and we were wondering how you reacted to groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons being the most famous Scotsman in the world.
That's the first time you've never gotten your head around a poll, I'll tell you that much. Usually it's right down your
Okay.
Oh, come on,
wow.
Sean.
If you can watch... of mythic proportions.
All right, you got to watch your language, please, Sean. Please.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
So the question again is, they took a poll, and apparently the famous...
Yeah,
the most
you
famous...
took a poll. You're right. That's what I'm guessing.
Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons is animated, not even real, apparently more famous as a Scotsman than you, Sir Sean. What's up with that?
Well, first of all, let me say that these opinion polls don't really mean that much to me.
Okay.
And, obviously, when you have a career like mine, you can't be too concerned about being more famous than this person or that person.
Right.
But
reality. This is bullshit. I'm Sean Connery.
Yeah, and it's just a cartoon character.
Let me think. Oh, I don't know. James Bond, does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
The Untouchables?
Sure, there's that.
Entrapment?
There's that, yeah.
Oh, did I the out of that girl?
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Did you really?
Oh, wow. Forgot she couldn't hold her for a week.
Okay,
that's how much I her
Okay, there's got to be a way that you can watch your language.
Has Groundskeeper Willie ever Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I don't know.
I'm guessing not.
The answer to that, but I'm guessing not. Right.
It's to the point where there are towns in Scotland, Sean, that are fighting over who gets to really be the town that Groundskeeper Willie is from. Aberdeen says it's them. Glasgow says it's them. I mean, it's crazy how much they love him.
Oh, but you're forgetting total bullshit also claim him as their own. This is why Scotland's a third world country.
I didn't realize it was a third.
I thought you loved Scotland.
I'm telling you, that is stupid as there.
Oh man!
Sean, why would you say that? That's ridiculous.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, it's fine. They bleeped it out. No one knows what I said.
Well, Sean, what do you think about the ranking? I mean, some of the other famous Scotsmen, Ewan McGregor was on the list, comedian Billy Connolly, singer Lulu. Were you happy with the list in general besides the number one?
Lesbian.
So not so much.
I'm the only real man on the list.
Yeah.
We've got an animated guy, a twink, a hairy bear, and a woman who likes to
Wow. Wow.
I'm the only true man from Scotland on that list.
Right. Well, but you were beaten by a cartoon character.
That's true. But on the other hand, suck my bagpipe.
If you were under a rock yesterday and missed the news, here's what you missed.
Despite protests, challenges, and court, the same-sex marriage ban approved by voters last year stands. In a 6-1 ruling, the state Supreme Court said it was constitutionally bound to uphold it.
The question really came down to nomenclature, whether or not same-sex couples have the right to call their unions marriage. And in this decision, the majority sort of more or less minimized the importance of that right.
The court also ruled the 18,000 same-sex couples who were wed last year will still be recognized as married.
Gay marriage. Next thing you know, they'll want to vote.
Well, we thought this would be a good time to catch up with our old friend Gavin Newsom, the mayor of the great city of San Francisco, who joins us on the phone. Why are you already, Mr. Mayor? Well, we haven't even started yet.
I can't even believe, I mean, the idea that gay people can vote is really scary.
It is scary, right?
I know.
You don't want them going to the polls. That can't happen.
So, Mr. Mayor, big day yesterday. Were you surprised by what the Supreme Court came down with, or was it along the lines of what you expected?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, and literally I've been told not to say this. I did expect it. I mean, we frankly read the tea leaves. Everybody that I talked to, all the pundits and the advocates that I talked to privately, were not necessarily surprised, but all of us were unanimously disappointed. And what this means, and this is important, is that the executive branch of government, the legislative branch of government, and the judicial branch can do nothing to protect the rights of a certain special class of minorities in the state of California. Only the people can determine the fate of a minority. And while that may sound good, remember that the history of the rights movement has not been the history of the majority advancing the rights of minorities, but the courts protecting the rights of minorities against the whims of the majority.
Right.
Right. That is an excellent point. And there's almost two parts to look at what happened yesterday. You can almost forget that we're talking about gay marriage. Forget that that's the issue. Look at the Supreme Court's job to interpret whether a law is legal, right, and is constitutional. And that's really what they were doing yesterday, is saying there's no reason for us to overturn Prop 8 because it was voted on legally and lawfully, right?
Yeah, and they went to great lengths. Particularly the Chief Justice, Ron George, went to great lengths and said, look, we're not making the case of whether or not this was a good or bad thing. The reality is, was this an amendment or a revision to the Constitution? And they maintained it was an appropriate amendment to the Constitution. But your point is right on. Think about this. There's nothing to stop people from putting, with a few million bucks, you can put almost anything on the ballot to change the Constitution to take your rights away or someone else's rights away with a simple majority. That's all it takes. You don't need to change a law anymore. Change the Constitution, and de facto, the courts can have nothing to say on the topic.
Could we put on canceling American Idol? Can we put that on?
Well, we don't want to do that.
You wouldn't have anything to talk about.
I would do that. All right. All right.
So I feel like you've already answered this question, but we had a K-Rock listener who wrote in named Suzanne who wants to know why you do not respect the rights of the majority, the many, many people who voted for Prop 8. And I guess your answer to that is that you don't want to live in a place where the majority can rule against a minority just because they can.
Yeah, no, I do respect the rights, but I also respect the argument that we made that this was not an amendment to the Constitution. This was a revision. Stripping people's rights that have been legally granted, to me, seems like a major revision, not just a simple amendment to the Constitution. That was our legal argument. The Supreme Court disagreed, and so we stand by that ruling. So, no, I think part of the tradition, the reason we have the courts, is there are certain laws that are enacted either by the legislature or the people that sometimes are not constitutional, and you challenge those laws. But it's the rule of law, ultimately, when the court adjudicates, when the court makes a determination, then you abide by it, and we're abiding by it.
Now, just to play devil's advocate for a second, there hasn't always been gay marriage rights. It sounds like everyone's saying they got these rights taken away, but that's never been the case, has it?
Well, for 18,000 couples, and one of the big successes yesterday, if there was anything positive, was the 18,000 people that legally were afforded the right to marry and be treated equally and fairly, their licenses are preserved. So the fact is we had a moment in time, less than a year, where people were legally afforded that right. Think about this. In the history of the rights movement, we've never seen the Constitution changed, except here, go figure, in California, where rights were legally afforded and then taken away by amending the Constitution. Only prohibition have we ever done something like that. No other state in history has done that. You think that would be Iowa or something. And, of course, now Iowa is providing and granting same-sex marriage license, not California.
That's shocking.
Mr. Mayor, go ahead, Lisa, sorry.
Well, what's really confusing, and I'm very glad that the people that are already married get to stay married, but can't people who now can't get married sue because they're being discriminated against because other people were allowed to get married? I mean, it's so confusing.
I know, and that's why, look, ultimately these things are going to be dealt with in the U.S. Supreme Court. Remember this, in 1948, 1949, the California Supreme Court overturned, first state in the nation to overturn the ban on interracial marriage. Blacks couldn't marry whites in the United States. And it wasn't until 19 years later, in 1967, that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the laws of the 16 remaining states that denied interracial marriage. And it's important for folks to know this, if we had let the people decide the fate of interracial couples, there would most likely in many states today be no interracial marriage, because 70% of Americans opposed interracial marriage in 1967. And based on tradition, based upon God, in fact, the judge in the case said God put different races on different continents for a reason. God never wanted the races to mix. That was the judge in the Loving versus the State of Virginia.
Isn't there a difference, though, between black and white, which there is no difference, and men and women, which I think a lot of people think there is a difference between those two?
Yeah, and you're right, of course. But at the same time, tradition dictated that marriage was between people of the same religions. Protestants, for example, couldn't marry Catholics, and that was based on tradition. Mm-hmm. Tradition was based on the fact only people of the same race can get married. That, again, argued on the basis of tradition and history. And here we are, similar arguments, different time. And again, good people can disagree. And I mean this because I have, honestly, family members. I'm a big Irish Catholic family, an oxymoron, but big group of Catholics in my family, including myself, but they just say they can't handle the word. Can't you just call it something else, civil unions? And to which my point is, you could if everyone had a civil union, but you can't have separate classes. Separate is not equal, and that's an important constitutional framework as well.
This is the mayor of San Francisco's voice you're hearing on the Kevin Mead Show. He is Gavin Newsom talking about the Prop 8 ruling by the California Supreme Court yesterday. Mr. Mayor, I know you were pilloried several years ago for being on television talking about, you know, get used to it. This is going to happen. It's inevitable. But aren't the demographics on your side, regardless of what any individual person listening, there's almost no question that as the younger people grow older and start to vote more, that this is eventually going to pass in California, as it has in so many other states, because it's really the older people who are voting against this predominantly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is remarkable, and it's as you say, it's generational. It's not Democrats or Republicans or independent. It's less party identification and more just time of life and state of mind. There's an empathy of a generation that's emerging and maturing, and it's remarkable to see that. I think President Obama really captured the beginning of this new millennial of group of young folks that are just becoming a voting age, and they're increasingly more and more likely to support things like marriage equality. So I do agree and do believe that ultimately we'll get there. It's just a question of time.
As a great man once said,
hey, I say, who cares, you know? If gays want to get married and be miserable like the rest of us, I say we should let them.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, I should be quoting him. I've been quoting Dr. King and Gandhi. Forget that.
Peter Griffin
is the guy you got to go with, right? Yeah, I think it's something like a close to 70% approval rating for 18 to 34-year-olds. I mean, it is such a generational thing. So, I mean, it is kind of inevitable. All right, I know you're almost out of time, and we are too, Mr. Mayor, but what's the next step on this? Is the next thing going to be another initiative that California voters will vote on, or will it go back to the courts again, or what happens next?
Well, two things are happening. You've got a new federal lawsuit that was done by the people that did the class action against the tobacco companies, one of the top law firms in America. The Boies Law Firm has actually initiated a federal lawsuit to ultimately get this to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in the interim, we're going to go back to the voters. Most likely it will be next year, and we'll try to right this wrong. Again, good people can disagree. The key now is to be much more humble and reach out to friends and family and meet with our neighbors and try to put a human face on this. Folks that are otherwise very impassioned and aligned with social justice that still are concerned about a word, to reach out to them and say, and to remind them that civil unions are not the same thing and that there are a lot of people that have been hurt by this. And so that's really the strategy.
Do you get a lot of, not abuse, but of reaction from the Catholic Church?
You have no idea.
Oh, wow. I mean, mother alone, I would imagine.
I mean, I could guess, because you being a Catholic, it seems like that doesn't necessarily jive with this whole thing.
Yeah, I joke that I blame the Catholics, because I went to Jesuit University, I went to Catholic schools, I wore a little sailor outfit growing up.
Oh, I'd like to get a picture of that.
Yeah, trust me, that hit piece is already out there.
Okay, yeah.
Devastating blow. But it's, you know, it's, so it's difficult, but you know what? I believe in the notion of equality, and I believe in the notion of interdependence, that we're all in this together. And so those are principles that I was taught, and I just believe in them. Good people could disagree, but I'll keep fighting for the things that I believe in.
Well, we appreciate your time, Mr. Mayor. Gavin Newsom, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon on the Kevin and Bean program.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Then our friend Jesse James joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. What's going on, Ralph?
Where's my murder button?
Why?
Murder button? Why? For who?
For Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore.
Uh-oh.
Murder button.
What are they doing?
Murder.
Thank you.
They're gone. Can you kill both of them with one button?
I don't think so. I think you need to change the frequency.
Murder.
There we go. There now we go. Got the other one. I told you this week that it's been announced by Reveille and the Brillstein Company that they are doing Twitter, the TV series.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The premise of which is they're going to take regular people and you're going to have to track down celebrities or follow celebrities based on what they tweet, and it's going to be some reality slash game show BS.
Right.
Well, that does not stand with Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher.
What do you mean? I thought he would be part of it because he's been, that's his whole thing.
Nope.
Huh.
Once he heard that news, he said that he may have to quit, may have to leave Twitter.
Because
a TV show based on it, now wait for this, would mean an unfair intrusion into their lives.
What?
Well, these are people who put every public goddamn thing they do, they put it on Twitter.
Does he know that's on the internet?
It's all fun and games till somebody gets stalked, he said on Monday. I don't like being sold out. I may have to take a Twitter hiatus, Ashton Kutcher said. So we can sell ourselves out, but we don't want anybody else making any money off of it.
And how can he complain about stalking when he's putting something up on a service that encourages you to be followed?
I hope this isn't true, Demi Moore said. If it is, our Twitter time may come to an end. Quick.
Yeah. Well, I sure would hate to see that end.
The Twitter folks yesterday said there's no truth to this rumor at all. The TV show is not happening, period. So I don't know whether that's going to be the case or not, but that's what they're claiming.
The Twitter folks are claiming that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever the CEO guy's name is.
Well, I can't imagine that Brillstein Entertainment and Reveille would release a press release unless they had some sort of deal in place.
I just always assumed it was with celebrities okay, that they would be a part of the
That's what
game,
I thought,
like
too,
they'll be contestants on a game show or something, yeah.
Not interested!
No. That's shaky.
Larry King's the best ever.
Larry King is the best.
And I love him, and I want to give him a big hug. but I fear I will shatter his brittle bones. He was at Nate and Al's Deli in Beverly Hills earlier this month, according to the Globe tabloid, and approached Gwen Stefani, who was picking up an order for her and the boys to go. Mm-hmm. He saw her. You know, he jogged over. About 45 minutes later, he got to where she was at the counter.
How does he know who she is?
And asked for an autograph for his son, which is kind of sweet.
Yeah.
His son is 61, by the way.
Gwen signed her name on a napkin and even promised to send a signed picture in the mail if the boy wanted it. Larry looked at the napkin, according to the story, and said, "I thought you were Christine Aguilera."
I'm a professional. Yes, look it up in the book.
Apparently, Gwen was none too pleased.
That's awesome.
How great is he?
Why would he say that? Don't he? I mean,
because
if you make that mistake...
Because he speaks out loud in movie theaters.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he has no filtering device. Because he doesn't realize what he's saying it. He thinks he's having a conversation in his head.
Yeah.
He's terrific.
He really
shouted that out loud.
He really has spent his life believing that everything he says is important and good.
Ralph's exactly right about no filter. He's at the he sits about 10 rows in front of me at the Dodger game. The other day, he was on his cell phone standing up during the game for 9 minutes. Just on his cell phone. Just standing.
Standing up?
Just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the Hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
Thanks for passing that along, Larry.
All right, just cool
he's
it.
The age where he's the grandpa that you just kind of say, oh, isn't it sad?
Yeah.
Yet they're still putting him on an international television network for an hour a night.
You say, we'll miss him, but really it would be better.
This is the first time I've ever been interested in him because he's crazy.
He's the best.
I love him.
And while you're dealing with the downside of this troubled economy here in these United States, mm-hmm. please take a moment, if you can, and think of those who are worse off than yourself, people who are truly struggling due to the recession that we're all coping with.
Okay.
According to the Wall Street Journal, that group is rappers.
Rappers?
Expand on that.
Apparently, the Wall Street Journal has done a story saying that it's difficult for rappers to afford the bling that has long been used to project an aura of outsized wealth amongst themselves and their fans.
How does one choose to become a rapper? Why are you a rapper?
Celebrity jewelers say that artists are being reduced to using even cubic zirconia and less expensive materials in their bling.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No way.
One rapper who asked not to be identified said, "But you can't admit you wear fake jewelry. If you do, it's over for you. It's like bragging you drive a Lamborghini when you really drive a Toyota."
Huh.
So they're having to use silver and white gold instead of platinum, cubic zirconia instead of diamonds, and other colored gems for the precious real deals.
That breaks tough my times. Heart.
So
yeah.
Please, you know, when you think your heart, you maybe lost your job or you can't afford your rent, your house is being repossessed, think about the rappers who have to go around wearing cubic zirconia that spells out "Crunk ain't dead" instead of diamonds.
Is there a just charity we cool can it. Give to?
There
or
should
something?
Maybe we should start one.
Start a charity for rappers.
Yeah.
Fun.
Bling bling till it hurts. Today's celebrity birthdays: Lou Gossett Jr. 73 years old today. Susie Sue of the Banshees is 52. Todd Bridges,
yep,
from Different Strokes, turns 44 years old today. Andre 3000 from Outkast is 34. And our buddy Adam Carolla celebrates his 45th birthday today. Ace, happy birthday, buddy. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jesse James here. Jesse, it's me, Lightning. How you doing? Good to see you. I love you.
Lightning's in the other room, yeah.
Our former producer, Lightning, of the Kevin DeBede Show, is what it has to be like this for you everywhere you go, Jesse James. Is there's got to be always a gearhead in the room who wants nothing but to talk to you all the time. Am I right?
Like man groupies?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Happens a lot, right?
Guys that want to check my oil.
Well done, well done. Well, Jesse James is in the studio with us. Of course, you know him from everything. You know him from the Monster Garage. You know him from the West Coast Choppers. Jesse James is a Dead Man is the new show debuting on Spike TV this Sunday night at 10. Most recently, we saw him on The Celebrity Apprentice. You've raised your profile a little bit in 2009. We're seeing a lot of the Jesse James, it seems like.
Yeah, but I brought a midget with me today.
You did. That's true. Brought a midget that is your security?
Yes. Body drop.
Does he get the job done for you, Jess?
Yeah, he does.
Now, you're a guy who used to be a bodyguard.
Yes.
And now you've got him walking around for you.
Yeah, you know they have superhuman strength.
I hear that's true.
Yeah. Don't cross the midget, man. They know stuff. They can do stuff.
Yeah.
They can crawl on up in you, man. You can't defend against that.
I don't think that's one of the things they know how to do.
That's what I've heard. Hey, Jesse, speaking of the bodyguard, we never have ever really talked to you about this, but Psycho Mike was telling us earlier that you used to work for Def Jam, I guess, right? Or Def American, maybe.
Yep.
And you were guarding, like, Slayer and guys like that?
Yeah, I worked for Rick Rubin, so kind of in the late 80s when you know, violent metal bands, when, you know, people started really getting pummeled at shows, mainly little kids.
Right.
Everybody just sued the record company. And so they put, like, kind of a security expert on the road with some of their violent metal bands, and that was me.
That was you. So you toured with Slayer and...
Yeah, Slayer, Danzig, Soundgarden, White Zombie, you know,
Corrosion. And you just try to keep the crowd cool, basically, is what you do.
Well, I would kind of go in ahead of time before the show and, like, kind of brief the security, like, okay, these kids, just let them go nuts, you know. The worst thing you could ever do is just throw them out and they miss the rest of the show, because most of the security guys used to get all crazy and, like, you know, when they'd crowd surf or whatever, and they're like let's pummel these little kids, you know, and, like, try to keep them calm and, you know, it.
So you were really controlling security,
so,
yes, as opposed to the crowd.
So let me see if I got this straight. So kids would get injured and sue, so they hired you, an expert, to come in, and then you would tell the security, let the kids do whatever they want.
No, I would, yeah, just let them go nuts, and if they get crazy, then just throw them out, because the security used to, like, beat up kids.
And I see what you're saying.
And then, you know, in the end, everybody sues the band, and sues the record company. Right.
Not because they got hurt, but because the security...
Yeah, they got hurt at the Slayer show. So, you know, me going in as an expert...
Why were you an expert, by the way?
Yeah.
I did it for a long time, you know. I worked all through high school for Gary Tovar for Golden Voice. So, like,
really?
All tons of shows and, like, Fender's Ballroom and everything.
You're
I was the big kid, so I used to, like, work the door, and it was,
wow.
The underlying motive was I got into all shows for free.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
And still, like, the best, you know, I could sneak into any concert easy.
Sure.
Now you mean?
Well, now I can just walk in.
Now he's Jesse James.
Right. Like, but, I mean, he's got the skill.
Like, the Jedi mind trick. No, but the best way... for your listeners to sneak into any concert anyway ever is a Domino's shirt, a Domino's hat, and an empty pizza box.
Nice.
That's smart.
You just walk up to the back door to the t-shirt security dude, like, Domino's for the band. Nobody wants to pay for it.
Nice.
So they let you walk in. Over the course of, like, 7 years, I found it, like, three times thrown away behind, like, a door or in the corner, a shirt, a hat, and a box. Someone, like, snuck
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome.
I put on a chef's outfit one time and went in through the kitchen for the Academy Awards, and that worked for a while, but not very long.
That's kind of scary.
Got tossed, yeah.
I just have a feeling there are going to be 30 guys in Pizza Hut outfits or something, and Domino's showing up at Acoustic Christmas this year thanks
Another
to Jesse
pizza?
James.
How many pizzas do these guys want?
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because you talk about sneaking into stuff. I get the impression from some of the stories I've heard you tell, like stealing Scott Hamilton's car at the Ice Capades, that you went through a patch where you were a little lax on following laws. Is that, would you say that's accurate, Jesse?
Yeah, I say I went through a little patch.
A little patch. There was a period in your life where perhaps you weren't the best citizen, maybe.
No. I was a rotten kid, and I just didn't have, like... I think if my parents were, like, there on top of me all the time, I wouldn't have done, like, 90% of the stuff I did, but I kind of was, like, self-governing, so, like, you're like, yeah, let's do this, you know?
Some people can deal with that, and other people don't deal with it as well. I would not be a good person that would be...
Some people need a shorter leash.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I played football, and I was super, super disciplined at that, in, like, practice and football and games, and that was the only disciplined part of my life, and I think because I knew my... football coaches would kick my ass if I got out of line, you know.
Right.
They were kind of my parental figures, but outside of football, I was like...
It was your goal playing football in high school, right? Was your goal to go on and play college pro?
I wanted to play college and wanted to play pro, but, you know, here's the shocking reality of being a rotten kid. You know, when I... my senior year in high school, we lost in the CIF playoffs, I think the third round, and
I had to check myself into jail that night as a deal with the judge, so to go serve out a sentence for some stuff I did.
But you should fit in the NFL perfectly then.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the...
But you got to get to college
but
first.
But the next 2 weeks when I was after the season, I had letters from every Division I school in the country that wanted to recruit me to their schools. They all came around to my high school to meet me, and I was in jail.
Wow. And that's not good.
No.
Was that an eye-opening moment for you?
I still saved all the letters. I still have them all. And it's like, you know, I've achieved a certain amount of success, you know, being a motorcycle builder and stuff like that. But if I could go back in time and, like...
I had to make that jail time so much worse.
Well, that was terrible because, you know, like...
Did you know that
all the big banquets and the, like, the... newspaper had like a, you know, they gave out awards and all that stuff. And I was like the best player and they left my name off of all of it.
Wow. And the guy whose name we cannot speak about in jail.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's
you had
rough.
Really bad grades, right?
Well, I got straight F's for that last semester, so I had to go to summer school to get my diploma.
So college still would have drafted you?
Oh, of course.
Well, I went to junior college to like and redshirted to get my grades up and then blew my knee out. And then I was like,
oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm going to get a job.
This doesn't seem to be working out for me.
This is not happening.
Yeah.
So was that, when I said it was an eye-opening moment, I mean, was it after that that you kind of started not getting in trouble, that you said, hey, it's just not worth it because it screws up too many other opportunities if I continue to get in trouble with the law?
Yeah, I think I always rode the fence where I was like, you know, one side of me, you know, I could always like cut a deal with the judge because they were on the booster club. And like, you know, I always like was working both sides of it. And then, you know, when the stark reality was that, hey, I was this great football player, but, you know, being a rotten person and doing bad stuff totally nullified it. And it was the first time that overshadowed football, and I realized, you know, soon after when I turned 18, I was like, okay, my free pass is over. Now
that's strong lesson.
Yeah.
Jesse James is a Dead Man is the new show. We're going to talk about it coming up in a couple of minutes. It debuts
good
this
times.
Sunday night at 10 on the Psych Channel. No, that's a good story, Jesse. I'm curious to hear how you pass those tales down to your own kids, because they're going to be getting into the age here soon where they're going to be starting to want to do that stuff. And you're going to tell
them,
only do it up until your 18th birthday is going to be your advice. We'll take a break and come back more with Jesse James after this on the Kevin and Bean. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jesse James in studio here this morning. The show is called Jesse James is a Dead Man, debuting on Spike this Sunday night at 10. Hey, Jesse, what kind of ride you come in this morning? What'd you drive to get here today?
Lincoln Navigator Car Service.
Nice.
Oh, car service. Okay.
Not what I would have guessed.
Nice.
It's got some chrome rims on it, though.
I was expecting something outrageous, something sweet, you know.
During
sort of monster truck.
During the Cypress Hill song, and we were going to talk about your TV show in a second, but during the Cypress Hill song, Mike was asking you about your days as Rick Rubin's security, and he was asking you if you ever had to collect.
What does that mean, collect?
Like my paycheck?
Nope. Like someone's not paying. And,
oh, you mean
well,
collect?
You know, they
literally?
Yes.
I think that was the underlying motive. You know, they put me on the road with all these bands. But ultimately, I think it came down to me with a little clicker clickering the doors.
So you could check up on them?
Yeah, to keep promoters from screwing them, you know. And they liked me because, like, every time one of the execs from, like, Ruben or one of the other, like, accountant type of dudes would come out, I'd always have, like, a suitcase full of, like, 400 grand cash. Like,
wow.
Here's your dough from the last, you know, four gigs.
Oh, nice.
And so they always, like, it was awesome, you know, because, you know, late 80s promoters and rock tours and all this stuff, you know, weren't exactly, you know, not that they're, like, on the up and up now, but, you know, there was... They were screwing bands.
A lot of people
pretty good.
Paid. Yeah.
Shady characters. Do you ever have to break someone's kneecaps? You do that?
He's thinking about it.
Yeah, he is.
Don't think about it.
I was trying to think if I broke their kneecap.
You're trying to think of what you broke?
Your
foot exactly snapped?
I mean, that was like kind of back the late 80s, early 90s was like pre-litigation.
Right.
So you could still like mutual combat, just go at it and like, okay. The cops show up and you just say, hey, you know, well. we wanted to fight, so we did it. Nobody sued each other. Now, if I punch someone, it costs $100,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You ever hanging on over a balcony at a hotel, or is that just that just Suge Knight way?
No, I went to traffic school for Rick Rubin, though, one time.
Really? Rick Rubin?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was in Europe. I forget what he was doing. I think he's working on the first Black Crowes album, like Night and Day, and couldn't get out of it. And he asked me if I would go to traffic school, and I'm like, all right. So he gave me his driver's license, you know, and I'm only like, I'm just doing whatever he asked me to do. So sure. Like, I went to traffic school, and like, just by dumb luck, the teacher at the traffic school was like the keyboard player from Black Oak, Arkansas. And like, I handed him my ID. He goes, Rick Rubin, I know who that is. He looks around and doesn't see Rick, and then sees me, and I walk up with Rick's ID with this full beard and long hair, and I don't look anything like the picture on the ID ever. And he's like, you're not Rick Rubin, but I'll just sign your paper now and you can get out of
so
here.
So you didn't even have to stay for it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
Wow.
Will that's you do that for awesome. Me?
Huh?
Will you do that for me?
No.
Like at traffic school?
No.
All right, let's talk about
I don't even go now. I have someone do it the online
for you.
Thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm Rick Rubin now. To you. Yeah.
Sunday night, 10 o'clock spike. Jesse James is a dead man. Here is part of the promo for that.
Jesse James, America's most notorious outlaw. Raised on the streets of Long Beach, he forged a career out of iron and fire to become the world's most recognizable gearhead. You know him as the star of his own TV show and the head of the motorcycle empire, West Coast Choppers. What you don't know is he's got a thirst for death. If it's on wheels, if it's got an engine, and if no one else has the balls to do it, Jesse will.
Okay, you don't really have a thirst for death.
He has
James.
A
Come
thirst
on.
For death. I heard the
you
guy
don't.
Say it.
You don't. What's that about?
What's that actually mean?
Don't know.
I do know that from my bodyguarding days that I worked for Metallica, and I made a phone call and got a Metallica song as the title track of the show.
That's pretty cool.
That's two hands equally shaking each other.
That's pretty strong.
Which sounds like a sex position. I need to investigate.
The secret handshake.
All right. So they come to you and they say, here's what we got for you. We want you to go up in an F-16 jet, for instance. That's one of the things that you do on the show.
And actually, Spike didn't come to me with that.
You went to them.
You went to them.
Yeah,
with that.
Actually, Spike came to me first, and they wanted me to do like Project Runway with bikes.
What?
You're kidding.
And you said, no, please.
Yeah.
You mean like, idea.
You mean like people would build bikes and then parade them in
decorate
front?
Them?
I guess I would critique them or what? I don't know, whatever. But we stayed, you know, I knew like when my contract ended with Discovery, I knew I had, you know, Spike was like where I needed to end up.
I mean,
obviously, I'm not going to go to a network because that's, you know, I can get away with whatever I want on cable.
Yeah.
And you've got the thirst for death. You can't have that on CBS.
So you're doing the nitro fuel motorcycle, which goes from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 1 second.
Just under a second. 1,000 horsepower.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a second.
That was an exaggeration.
And the whole, you know, it's top fuel Harley, so the whole thing's triggered off full throttle. So there's a micro switch on the throttle wheel. So when you hit full throttle, then it activates the clutch, the fuel pumps, everything else, and makes the bike go straight. So unless you hit it full throttle, the bike doesn't work right, and it'll veer off to the side or spin the tire or whatever. So there's no way to learn how to do it.
It's the only thing that I've ever heard of where you literally have to go full speed or you'll wreck.
Yeah, and you know, like, you know, you'll see on the episode Sunday that, like, you know, my head goes like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But then once it gets crazy, you know, my hand goes, whoa, wait a minute.
Let up a little.
Yeah. I'm sure.
And that almost went terribly wrong. There was some kind of an explosion. And
yeah, you know, and it's just rad, though. You know,
do you flip the switch yourself to make the bike go?
Yeah, I'm holding on to the throttle with my hand.
Okay.
And to get ready for that, you went in the F-16.
Yes.
And did 9 Gs.
Yes.
That did not look pleasant. I think it was like
punishment. It was crazy.
They also set you on fire.
How did that help?
In case, because
nitro's super volatile, and they always have big like flame out explosions. So the producers thought it would be a good idea if I set myself on fire, and it was.
And you're like, okay.
It was actually pretty easy. Like, my heartbeat only went up 10 beats per minute, and it was just like, I didn't even know I was on fire until I looked down, and I saw my shadow with this giant flame coming
out.
There
were flames everywhere.
I'm like, okay, run around now.
Jesse, you may be too mellow. That may be the problem here. I think it may be time to get that adrenaline pumping a little bit in some cases, like when you're on fire.
Well, I think I tend to get, when stuff's all crazy, I think I tend to stay calm, you know,
right.
I, like, get real focused and like, okay, got to do it.
But I think what Bean's saying is the fight or flight, you know, thing that your body has is probably a healthy thing.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't run. Casually.
I don't need to run like a girl, but you shouldn't casually think, one day I'll put this fire out that's enveloping my body. That's the time when you got to move fast.
You were lit for what, like 15, 20 seconds or something?
I mean, it was a while. I was lit enough that it burned through the fire suit and totally put blisters on my ass crack.
Like, that's what I was.
I mean, it was like,
today.
and it was pretty bad. And I could see, like, in the slow mo footage, you could see it like burning a hole in the back. I think the stuff coming up between my legs and into my crotch, and then up my.
Right.
It intensified the heat in that region.
Oh. I would have thought that suit or whatever.
That's TV imitating life.
Would last forever.
Longer than 15 seconds.
Yeah, what is it doing melting?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know. And,
it's hardly
and,
fireproof.
Were you surprised?
And I've wore 100 fire suits and been in 100 race cars and done that stuff, and I never knew how long the suit lasted, but that stuff actually burns.
Well, what? Mean, like, that's a bad fire suit then.
Yeah. I think it's like 90 seconds it's supposed to burn, but not with
Jesse, why? I understand you wanted to do something with Spike because that's a compatible network for your sensibilities, but why did you want to do a show like this where there's potential for a real injury?
Well, I think everybody's freaking out off the name, which is good. It's why we named it that, but I don't know. I mean, it's to me, this stuff looks like fun, and like
there you go.
It's the opposite of dead. I'm really living. I'm doing, getting to do all the stuff, and it's, I'm calling it work.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
you get paid for it.
Yeah, and you know, and some of this, I think once you push yourself through your perceived limits of fear and endurance and all that stuff, I look at the reel for the show that we filmed over the last year, and it's like the craziest highlight reel ever. I'm just like, wow.
Now, I saw the Nitro Fuel. Yeah. I also saw a commercial for, it looked like you were jumping a house in a monster truck that didn't really go terribly right.
Yeah, these smart-ass kids from, like, we did an internet challenge episode, which is where if you want to get anything done, you should go to the information superhighway.
Sure, yeah.
And so I challenged, you know, people to post a video of challenging me to do something. And, like, you know, and so these smart-ass kids from Garden Grove challenged me like, but you can't jump through a house with the monster truck, and like they didn't even know I have my own monster truck,
right?
And it's just been sitting there, so we cruised out to the 909 and made it happen.
Did you tell the people in the house ahead of time, or just
pick the house,
just do it?
909.
Hey, sorry about that whole monster truck thing.
Out in River Tucky, you know. You think those people are surprised to see a monster truck down
true.
The street?
What else?
Another Saturday night.
What else do you do in this season?
I rode a BMW, like a GS, like their enduro bike, to the top of the Arctic Circle in the first week in December.
So it was 20 below or something?
It was at 60 miles an hour on the bike. It was minus 75.
That is a terrible idea.
Still,
did you go with your shirt off?
Yeah.
Wow.
I greased naked. Up like a channel swimmer. No, it was really dumb because we thought of it 2 weeks before. One of my producers came up with the idea 2 weeks before we had to leave. So we had 2 weeks to build the bike and prepare. And I'm like, I'm from Long Beach. Like, it's cold if I have to wear long pants
right.
to work.
Right. 75 below or whatever is
not. Yeah, and it was just crazy. But like the rest of the show, you know, it was like the most epic ride journey ever. I mean, it was like we were riding on the moon because everything's dead. The only place to go was the place we were going, and there's only an hour and a half of daylight, so we had to stay all night on the ice on the Arctic Ocean to make it all the way there. And it was like, oh,
Man, good times.
Yeah.
Nope. That's the difference between you and me. I'm happy to see my limits way off on the horizon. I don't need to get anywhere near them. I don't need to challenge them. I don't need to chase them. I don't need to do any of that. That's why the show is not Bean is a Dead Man. Jesse James is a Dead Man debuts this Sunday night at 10 on Spike. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We got one more with our guest, Jesse James, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Genevieve Atkerson. Just won tickets for Blink 182 and Weezer. We got more tickets that you can win throughout the week, so please keep listening. Our friend Jesse James is here. Jesse James is a Dead Man is the show, debuting this Sunday night at 10 on Spike. Last time we had you on, Jess, was right around the finale of Celebrity Apprentice, I think it was. And we told you at the time that you seemed to us like the only guy who kind of came out of that show looking better than you did going in. And I don't know how you pulled that off, but what a group of whack jobs you were on that program with.
That was some reality TV.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been bizarre with Joan Rivers and Melissa, and they were both like yelling, you know, supporting each other, and Tom Green and Dennis Rodman, you kind of...
I don't know. I've been on TV for the last 10 years. I mean, really, honestly, the way I look at it, I've been on basic cable for the last since 99. So, like, mm-hmm. me going on NBC and, like, their biggest rated high-quality show, I was like, man, this is the big time. I better be on my best behavior and not kill anybody and not say anything stupid. And I don't think everybody else looked at it like, you know, they were like...
It didn't occur to them.
Yeah,
that
you know.
That was the case.
You just let them all self-destruct. It seemed like every single person on the show, other than you, just Clint Black was an a-hole. And
yeah,
I mean, Dennis Rodman had a drinking problem that you finally had to point out.
Not so shocking.
I mean,
well, you know what? Jokes on all of them, including the Trumps. I was just using them to promote my new show that starts a couple weeks after on Spike.
So crafty.
I mean, yeah. That's a smart marketing move, but did you enjoy the competition, The Apprentice? Did you have fun?
I wasn't really into the competition part of it, and I think everybody else was like trying to like eat themselves, you know, where they're like so worried about beating everybody, and I'm just like, whatever, let's just all, you know, all the politicking and like... All, you know, especially the girls' side of town, they're all like in my ear every day. You need to, you know, if this comes down to this and this, you need to be friends. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just work hard and try to do a good job. If we like win the task, guess what? We don't get fired.
So you were probably speaking a foreign language to them. They didn't understand like, that.
But anyway, we need to get Jesse out of here.
But the
underlying fact is I worked my ass off and I did everybody's job for them and never took credit. So no one really wanted to get rid of me because they knew like if I was on their team, I'm going to do the lion's share of all the worst labor.
If you weren't, they'd have to do it.
Yeah. And they're like, right. So...
Was it a difficult transition for you being a boss, being a guy who has a job with employees, to not be able to do things your way, to kind of have to be in a group where you have equals rather than you get to decide how things go?
Well, I did. I think I could be – I learned a little bit of stuff about myself for a lot, you know, that I can be a better team player and a better communicator and things like that. But, you know – I think I'm the only one who has to make payroll every week out of that group.
That's probably true.
I think it's – life's way different when you have to sign the other side of the checks every week.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wondered, though, how – I mean, a lot of people watching, I'm sure, thought, here's Jesse who's got a blue-collar background, but clearly is a rich guy who's a boss who has a lot of power. And you were kind of playing it off as you were just a schmo walking it off the street. But, I mean, you've also achieved a great level of success and know a lot about what you're doing, too, though. You were kind of underplaying the effectiveness that you would have in this game.
Well, I think everybody went in there and they're like, hey, dig me, you know. And Clint Black's walking around with his guitar like, here's my new single, you know. And like, you know, and everybody's like all about them. And I'm just like, you know, I'm going to lead by example. I'm just going to work hard. You know, I think the more you have to talk about stuff, the more you aren't that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think people are smart enough to watch TV. They know what's really going on.
You did just sit around and just let everybody hang themselves by talking way too much.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're the smart guy, but just by not saying much.
Yeah. That's the state of TV now where I'm considered the smart guy.
Now, I don't know how much of this is editing or if it really was uncomfortable for you in that last boardroom. But they were really calling you out on the carpet by not bringing your wife into the competition, by not using her, you know, her celebrity to raise money for the tasks and whatnot. And you basically just stonewalled them. You basically just sat there and said, well, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
was that uncomfortable for you? Or
no, because you kind of have to, you half-ass expect it out of dudes like that. You know, they're going to bring my wife into it and try to make it all about her. And, you know, they edited a part out where I told Trump, I was like, you know what? If you send Melania down to West Coast Choppers and put her in a G-string and pose on one of my bikes, then by all means, I'll bring my wife and she can be on your TV show.
Oh, and like, they took that out.
Yeah, they took,
awesome.
They took it out. Come and on. like you should have seen the look on his face. It was like, you know, fair is fair, right?
Yeah.
If we're going to like pull our spouses in, then let's really do it.
It
for
does
real.
Seem like everybody else is there so sucking up to him because they really want his approval.
Well,
and when
the
you
boardroom is the whole thing. I just sat there. I wore the same blue Pendleton every boardroom. I never wore any makeup. And I just sat there because I think once they got in the boardroom, that was their finally their time to speak.
Right.
You know, and I just was like, whatever. I'm going to do my work out there. And like, it was just crazy, you know. Everybody's they keep us there 18 hours a day, which is good. I'm used to working those kind of hours. Then they don't feed you, and it's like hot in there, and everybody's like, you know.
So they try to get you.
Yeah,
all
they want you
up
all
and upset,
antagonized, and pissed, so you fight. And like, it was funny, you know. They were just like, "What?" The girls are like, "Why are they doing this to us?" And I had to keep reminding me, "No, this is TV,
right? Like, not really.
Whatever.
You shouldn't have to remind them of that, but yeah. It seems like people who go on those shows get completely lost in that world, like it's a real world.
And I think, you know, everybody that goes on them acts like an a-hole.
Yeah.
So when people saw that I did it, they're one, why did you do that? And two, like, oh, you know, he's not going to do good, or he wouldn't. You know, I think they assume just because they're in that type of venue that they're going to act a certain way. And me, I only act one way.
Yeah.
I've known you guys for years, and I'm only going to be me.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were what, second runner-up on the show, right?
Yeah, podiumed. Woohoo, third place.
You got the bronze.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it was very entertaining. And you did not cheat death like you're going to be doing on the new show. Jesse James is a Dead Man debuts on Spike this Sunday night at 10 o'clock. It looks fantastic, Jesse. And we don't get a chance to catch up with you as often as we like. But thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for making it in today. I appreciate it.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Happy birthday to you.
Adam West?
No, Batman.
Oh.
Batman's birthday. On this day, in 1939, the very first comic book with Batman hit the stands. Can you believe that? 70 years ago today.
Yeah, that's something.
Y'all know what the number that was, right?
Don't care.
Detective Comics number 27.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Of course we knew that.
1939.
What's that going for if you can find a copy these days, Ralph?
Depending on the quality of the copy, you know, somewhere... six figures, I guess. Half a mil.
Not interested.
You're not interested in half $1 million. Is that what you're not interested in, Kevin?
Not in spending it on that. No.
What if you had one? You could sell it for that. Yeah, all of a sudden, look at you now.
Then yes.
Yeah.
Kevin would lose it in his back seat.
This
oh, my
back
God.
Seat.
Who the hell cares?
Lost to the back seat. Katy Perry's boobs have magical powers.
God damn right.
Boobies! She tells Complex magazine,
giant size cans,
that when she first entered into her relationship with Travis McCoy of the Gym Class Heroes, he was a butt man, totally about the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Then he met her and her curvy little body. And now apparently he likes the boobies. He was a butt guy until he met me and the girls, she says.
Uh-huh.
By the way, she adds that her don't sag. That's what she says.
Nice melons.
Of course not. You're 12 and you're hot and you're firmly, fully packed.
Yeah, there is all of that.
Yeah.
Come see us in 20 years.
That's right.
Boobies. And I like boobies.
Put them on the glass. Lady Gaga, however.
I'll puke that.
Wow.
Is not as attractive. Loves wildlife.
Looks like wildlife.
She said recently she had a great time visiting Australia and went to the Sydney Zoo in her underwear. She said...
Why would she go to the Sydney Zoo in her underwear?
Because she dresses up in honked up costumes all the time. So she was wearing some sort of top and her underwear.
Okay.
And she said while in her underwear at the Sydney Zoo in Australia, she chased an emu, held a koala, and was able to pet a wombat.
I bet she was petting the wombat. You know
code?
What I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? She was petting the wombat.
I don't even know
she
what
was
that is.
Petting the wombat. That's what I'm saying.
Are we
saying.
Playing Mad Libs here, Ralph? What are we doing?
That's code.
I'm saying she was petting the wombat.
That's all you need to know.
Did she once shoot an elephant in her pajamas?
How they got in pajamas, you'll never know. Adam Lambert says he appreciates the offer from legendary rock band Queen to be their new frontman. He's not quite so sold on the idea.
What?
Really?
I don't blame him.
Why?
Because he thinks that he's got a shot to record his own album. And,
right, but he'd still be able to do that in the future. It seems like that's a pretty big platform.
Well, Kevin, you may be thinking along the same lines as Adam. He said it's a tough question because, honestly, how do you say no to being in Queen?
Right.
I mean, that's unbelievable. But at the same time, I do have my own thing to do right now, and that's my goal. So if I could, I would like to try to do both.
You are a fairy.
That's the honest question. I would try to do both. I would love to perform with them anytime they wanted me, but I'd also like to have my own record, so we'll have to see. So he's not signing on to fill Freddie Mercury's shoes just yet.
I can understand why you would be typecast a little bit as the Queen guy. I can understand why you'd want to stay away from that if you're a new artist trying to, you know, develop your own style, your own fans.
I can, too. And guys who take over as lead singers of classic rock bands rarely go beyond that in terms of success, you know.
Yeah, right,
you
can see exactly. That.
Who was the kid who won the rock star competition, ended up being the new lead singer for INXS?
For a brief time.
They booted him out after a while, and now he's working at Arby's.
Yeah.
You want horsey sauce with that, sir? That's what he's asking now. So, we'll have to wait and see. I think he's a talented guy. We'll see what happens. And my buddy Al Pacino's got a new role. Here's the thing. People are always picking on the classic actors, like the greatest actors of our generation from the 70s and 80s who made their mark in classic films like Godfather and Raging Bull with De Niro and that kind of thing. A lot of them say that they're past their prime. They do crappy movies now. They don't try anymore. Pacino strikes me a guy who generally is still trying to do interesting and quality work.
Sometimes. But then just as often, he'll take an 88 minutes or something that he sleepwalks through.
But I think in 88 minutes,
movie.
He reads that script and says, this is something decent. Maybe I can make something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can only do what you get offered, right?
Of course,
as opposed to a Robert De Niro who says, all right, I'll star in The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle as fearless leader. I'll do another Fockers movie.
Yeah,
he's given up.
Although he was good
in that. Explain This or Analyze That or whatever those series of movies were. He seems to be a paycheck kind of guy to me now.
Yeah,
Pacino seems to be at least trying to come up with something interesting once in a while, and I think he's achieved that once again. HBO's announced he has been cast as Jack Kevorkian in a movie about the famous.
Interesting.
Doctor of Death.
I can see that. They kind of look alike. I can totally see that.
Well, if you ever saw him play Roy Cohn in Angels in America, with his gray hair sort of trimmed back and everything,
right.
He really sort of pulled off that aging, desperate kind of character. So, he'll be playing Jack. And the story, of course, will be about Jack's career and his famous mercy machine that he built to conduct assisted suicides and the uproar that followed that.
What would that sound like if he were to do that, Ralph?
So... You want to die? Got a little machine. Help you die. Ooh-ah.
I'm in.
Thank you.
I'm going to go see that.
In case Al doesn't do it, maybe I can step in.
Dr. Death. So, want to be in heaven. Not happy with living anymore. Oh, yeah.
At a minimum, you should be allowed to be in the movie and then get cut out of the final release.
At least. Maybe I can be a patient. Maybe I can be a corpse.
Maybe just have this.
What about
murder?
See, that'd be the easier way.
Oh, that kind of takes Kevorkian. You don't even need Kevorkian anymore to get the murder button.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Did I mention Batman? Batman's birthday.
Yeah, you did.
Did I mention that?
Yep. You sure did.
Sean Kinney, drummer for Alice in Chains, is 43 years old today. Todd Bridges from Different Strokes celebrates his 44th birthday. Lou Gossett Jr., Oscar-winning actor from An Officer and a Gentleman, is 73. Susie Sue of Susie and the Banshees. What's with all the X's, Susie? Susie Sue with all those X's? I'm not a fan. She's 52 years old today. And our buddy Adam Carolla celebrates his birthday as well. We wish Adam the best and hope he gets more beer for his next charity function. Because that was BS. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, less than an hour from right now, Game 5 of the NBA Western Conference Finals. It's your Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. It's 2-2, is that right?
It is. 2-2. Mm. They play Game 5 here, then Game 6 there, then Game 7 back here.
But you got the Birdman to look forward to tonight, Kevin.
Oh!
You love the Birdman. He's your favorite.
Oh, I hate the Birdman. The Birdman is a player on the Denver Nuggets, number 11, Chris Anderson. And
Chris Anderson?
And he's got a faux hawk.
Yeah.
He normally has like a bowl haircut, like a Rodney Bingenheimer haircut.
Well, that's a nice look.
But then he puts it in a faux hawk and he wears a headband and he becomes the Birdman. I think because early in his career, he used to jump high. I guess that's why they gave
him. People said he flew.
Right. So then he got bird wings tattooed on the underside of his arms.
He really took it to heart,
yes.
Didn't he?
And now when he makes a block or something, he flaps his arms like he's the Birdman. And everybody goes, oh, Birdman, Birdman.
Do people in Denver really like him?
Yes.
Really?
Although they're the losers. I mean, they went through the crowd to find little fat kids with the faux hawk and nerdy looking guys with the faux hawk and the headband. I mean, really just like the dregs. So on Monday's game, of course, it was Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And so he did a public service announcement.
This is Chris, the Birdman Anderson. Just wishing all the troops out there a happy Memorial Day. Have a good one.
Have a good one. All right.
Wow, that was inspiring.
You guys that are getting shot at,
have a good one.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
And I'm not even sure what that means.
How much time did he spend on that for our troops overseas fighting a war?
That's a bird, man. Have a good one.
Couldn't have thought something
Couldn't
up.
Say thank
bird
you.
Man.
So I mean, have a good one is what you say to the guy at 7-Eleven
right.
Who rings up your Slurpee. Right? It's
right.
Not thanks for saving the world.
Exactly. There's a little difference between a guy carrying an AK-47 and putting his life on the line and a dude working at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a good one. So then they sold throughout the entire game. Oh, at halftime, the inspirational story. At halftime, coming up, the story of the Birdman. The inspirational story of the Birdman.
Why is it inspirational?
Because he got suspended from the league for 2 years for doing meth or heroin or something. He won't say. But here is the heartwarming story.
Protecting the nest.
He's crazy, man. Birdman is a rock star.
I think there's maybe Birdman and there's Chris.
Okay, now this is the interviewer, and she's interviewing the Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. The Birdman doesn't have his hair up in the faux hawk, so he's not the Birdman now. He's just Chris.
Well, I mean, Clark Kent isn't Superman as long as he's wearing the glasses, Kevin. Same deal.
Is that true, or are they the same guy?
Well, you're talking to Chris now.
So if someone asked you, who is Birdman, what would you say?
You'd have to talk to him about that.
You'd have to talk to him about that.
No,
you're a douchebag. I don't do well with douchebags.
You. Oh, come on, really?
His popularity on the court comes despite some problems in the past. Starting in 2005, when Anderson was in his fifth year in the league, playing for the Hornets, it all started to unravel.
Now here's the story of how everyone hates him and turned on him.
He and his mother had a falling out over finances. His fiancée ended their engagement. And in August of that year, his house was severely damaged by Hurricane Katrina.
God hates him.
During that period, friends say Anderson made poor choices off the court. Mark Bryant, Anderson's mentor and attorney, says he recalls signs of substance abuse. His coping methods caught up with him in January of 2006, when Anderson tested positive for a substance on the league's drugs of abuse list.
Now, the drugs of abuse list is not the same as steroids.
Okay.
This is heroin, cocaine, those kinds of drugs.
Right.
This
Which
is the
includes
fun drugs.
Cocaine,
yeah.
Heroin, and methamphetamine. And Anderson was suspended for 2 years. He has refused to reveal the drugs he was using.
Yeah, because it's a huge secret. It's either meth or heroin or coke.
I suspect that he's not mentioning because it's something weak sauce. It's something. It's like Advil, and he wants it to look cool because I'm a rock star of a basketball player, and I've got a faux hawk, so it could be anything. Because I'm an outlaw, I could have taken anything. I pushed my body to the limits.
Why haven't you ever publicly stated what drugs you used that caused the suspension?
I don't know. I just
well, that of course
particular
you know.
Young man. That's what he has. That's what he has. That's the bird. I don't know. I just.
Do you want to say it now?
No. Don't do drugs. Why does it got to be a specific drug?
That's a good point. Why does it have to be a specific drug? That's a good point.
You're right, because caffeine and cocaine, it's all the same.
That really was his entire answer, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was waiting. There had to be more.
He's the world's biggest zero in person. I mean, he is an actual pretty inspirational player on the court. He comes out, gives him a burst of energy. Every team needs a guy like that.
Sure.
Plays hard, yeah.
Plays hard, but wow, what a douchebag.
I wanted to be the one to say, I told you so. I didn't want to be in this other position where people were saying, I told you so.
Okay, so that's his big regret, is that he doesn't like to be in the position where people said, I told you so. He wanted to say, you wanted to just tell them so.
That's how
they were asking him.
That's how deep he is. Yeah, why
they were asking him, you know, about being back in the NBA after the suspension, right, and everything. He's just trying to prove everybody wrong that he's got it.
I have no desire to go back down that road. I did want to come back and make a statement.
It's the music.
What statement did you want to make?
Look at me now.
Not I'm if a giant I did tool. It, you can do it. Look at me
Look
now.
Look at me now is how the piece ended.
That is very different than I learned a lesson and you can come back sometime.
That's a hell of an inspirational story,
wow,
isn't it?
Look how great I am.
Wow.
Wow. You have to ask
so,
him.
If he were on the Lakers, would you still hate him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then that's true. Then that's so, true hate.
Right?
I got to agree.
Yeah.
He's inspirational. He comes on. It gives him good energy. I mean, I hated Vlade when he was a Laker. Hated him with a passion.
Yeah.
Birdman's worse. He does that stupid flapping his wings thing.
Yeah, and you can't look like a guy who's a contestant on I Love New York and play in the NBA and expect me to like you.
He's the poster child for hot chicks with douchebags.
Look at me now. And all you guys that are struggling out there with drugs and alcohol, have a good one.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Our friend Nicole Alvarez is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Oh, wait, I don't know why I said that. I have no idea what she's going to be playing, but I'm sure it's going to be very entertaining, and you should stick around for that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
I don't get your joke, mister. I don't understand you. You're just not the same person anymore. I'll tell you, Bean, you go out and you have a few shooters. When you come back, you're just not the same guy.
That's all I know. I thought I had a list, but I spoke too soon.
Oh, I see.
Dean is the king of starting a conversation and then not having the information.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. I do get ahead of myself.
And hitting the brakes mid-sentence right. Throws us all for a loop. We all go flying through the windshield.
Yep.
He hits the brakes. He's wearing a belt. The rest of us, it's all unexpected, and now look at us. We get the face transplant.
How about checking ahead of time and then not bringing it up if you don't know?
Yeah, I think that is excellent advice because it is uncomfortable for everyone.
All right.
You know Jessica Shore from Gossip Girl?
Yes.
Yeah, she's aight. She's aight.
She is.
She is joining the cast of a brand new motion picture. It has been announced, the cast yesterday, for Piranha 3D. That's right. The horror movie Piranha 3D.
Wow.
Yep.
Those are those little fish with the sharp teeth? Is that what Piranha are?
Little fish. Mm-hmm. Little fish.
Aren't
they?
They'd
tear you up.
They would eat the out of you.
Right, but sharp teeth, but they're pretty small, right? But
they're ravenous.
They
can strip a cow's carcass in less than a minute.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're gangsters. They roll in a pack of 1,000. They never cruise alone.
No, yeah, they go in schools. And if a school of piranha hit you, they can strip you to the bone in a matter of seconds.
Wow. All right.
Now how do you like me?
Now it sounds a little scary.
Now Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
Who's going now?
I'm in.
She had joined the cast. Elizabeth Shue is also in the cast. Ving Rhames, Dina Meyer, and Richard Dreyfuss. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Wow.
Richard Dreyfuss doing Piranha 3D. I knew after Poseidon his career was pretty much over, quite frankly. New casting news as well. Al Pacino has been tapped to play Dr. Jack Kevorkian, Dr. Death. HBO is doing a new movie produced by Barry Levinson, who gave us so many great films like Diner and what's that? Oh, definitely.
Rain Man,
that one. Kevorkian, of course, was jailed after a Michigan court convicted him of second-degree murder when he helped one of his patients kill themselves. He served 8 years, then was released in 2007 on good behavior, and he's been doing public appearances ever since. The story will cover Jack's career, including the building of his famous Mercy Machine. So, Pacino, playing Dr. Death. I like it.
He's still in jail, too, now, I think.
I think he went back, didn't he? He came out and he went back?
Yeah, I think he's in jail. Hey, you know what's funny? Because, I mean, you know, like so many other things, it was groundbreaking at the time, and it was a huge national debate. But there are lots of states now that have those assisted suicide laws, and, you know, people aren't going out of their way to go to those states and die. I mean, it really hasn't affected most anybody.
And because Jack stepped up and was the man for us.
Right, right.
He had to pay the price, as so many pioneers do. God bless you, Jack.
It's like when Psycho Mike tried to be one of the first guys to get married in California. Everybody was hating on him, but now, you know, people are starting to accept it.
Adam and Steve, my ass.
Look at me.
That's right.
Tila Tequila's on the hunt for a soulmate.
Yeah.
She really is ready to settle down now. She is ready to settle down.
Well,
is
she looking for another show?
She wants to get married and settle down.
And where is she looking for this?
She's looking not on television because MTV has cut her loose.
Okay, good.
So she's just roaming the streets.
Okay.
Looking for her knight in shining armor. Tila said she met her dream guy but lost him 10 years ago and hasn't seen him since.
Well, he made the
But she's convinced that they're made for each other and that he still loves her after all these years. She just can't get in touch with him.
He couldn't he can't wait to get her? Away from her.
Let me tell you a little something about this guy. 10 years ago, what happened, Teal? Let me clue you in. Here's a short list of things that happened.
Name change.
Uh-huh.
Used acid. Dipped his fingers in acid to eat away his fingerprints.
Yep.
Reconstructive facial surgery. And became a woman. He did everything he possibly could so that you would never find him.
And moved to Sweden.
That's right.
So leave him alone.
Leave him be.
Yeah, he loves you. He's dying to get back in touch with you after 10 years.
Yeah, that's why for 10 years he never picked up the phone, because he just can't stop thinking about you.
Well, how would he find her? She's only all over the internet and television. He didn't know a way to get in touch with her.
If he really wanted to find her, he could smell her from wherever he is in the country.
Oh, wow. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Why would you even say
I'm that's saying if you really wanted to find her, that would be a way.
It's accurate, but I don't think you could say that.
Where's Teela? Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Maine. That's what you could just... You could
anywhere in the country.
Anywhere in the country.
Wow.
Come on, you can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
Okay. Will Ferrell, my buddy, has got a new line of sunscreens that he's rolling out.
Sure he does.
Well, look, he's pasty white. He must know something about keeping the sun off your skin.
Sure.
Actually, this is all for charity. There's a charity called Cancer for College, which raises money to give scholarships to cancer patients. And so he has slapped his name on a trio of sunscreens. They go under the following names: Sexy Hot Tan, Forbidden Fruit, and Sunstroke. You can tell they're Will's because there are photos on each of the bottles of Will in various states of undress.
Yeah.
What if it's like those pens you have? If you turn it upside down, you know, the bathing suit strips away.
I certainly hope not.
You can see Will's big ball fro. You know he's sporting a major fro down there, you know?
Sure.
He just strikes me as a fro.
Like the afro he wore in Semi-Pro.
Exactly.
That's what it looks like
that
in his shorts, right?
That kind of thing.
It was Step Brothers, wasn't it, when he was putting his junk all over the drums?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. The bottle says it all, Will says. I've always dreamed of owning a lotion company. So now he has. I think we're going to have Will in next week for Land of the Lost.
Hopefully.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Andre 3000. Speaking of Will Ferrell, they worked together in Semi-Pro. He is 34 years old. Paul Bettany, very talented actor from A Beautiful Mind and other motion pictures. I believe he is married to the lovely and talented Jennifer Connelly. Yes. Wow.
Indeed.
38 years old. Sean Kinney, drummer for Alice in Chains, is 43.
My next door neighbor.
Really?
I should go over and say hi. Take him a muffin.
Yeah, wish him a happy birthday.
Take him a cupcake with a candle in it.
There you go.
Todd Bridges. What are the odds Bean would ever, ever in a million years do that for a neighbor?
Zero.
Ever. What are the odds? Ever.
Have you ever met him?
Oh, many times. We talk over the fence from time to time, but we don't exactly like hang out at each other's house.
But it's his birthday. Would you stop by his house and just knock on the door and say, hey, found out it was your birthday. You just wanted to wish happy birthday. Here's a little something.
Nope.
Here's a card. Here's a cake. Here's a cookie.
Bean will see him in the driveway or somewhere.
Right.
Sean, I heard it's your birthday. Yeah, it is. Okay.
That's what it'd be?
That would be it.
Look at me. You'd be like the Birdman. That's what it'd say. Todd Bridges is 44 years old today. Lou Gossett Jr., Oscar-winning actor, is 73. Susie Sue of Susie and the Banshees is 52. And our buddy Adam Carolla celebrates his 45th birthday today. We wish him the best. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.